This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Ferrillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. We're here. We're back. We haven't gone away every Wednesday during the off season, and we're just coming down from that exhilarating Super Bowl.
Some might hope we go away now.
Yeah? Why? I think people enjoy having this, you know, place to talk about the Patriots when everyone else talking about Roger Clemens and videos and... That's the stupidest thing you ever heard.
What?
Making a video so Roger Clemens will come back here. Like he doesn't know what the Red Sox are all about.
Doesn't offend me.
Should the Patriots... I think it's stupid. Should the Patriots make a video for Ty Law?
How do you know they've never done something like that?
What's
the video for?
I don't know. For Roger Clemens, you mean?
Like, what's
the
recruitment video? I don't know. It has fans or something in it.
We really want you, Roger. You know, and you have Angry Bill... You know, say, come back, Roger.
Angry Bill's in it?
I don't know.
Oh.
You get mad about
you're talking,
talking
baseball and you're talking Red Sox.
You're talking like you know what's in the video.
Dexter Reed is now going to be wearing number 24.
I think the fact that Dexter Reed is now 24 means Ty Law's coming back for a year.
Does that video have a check with $20 million in it? Because unless it does, whatever else is in it is irrelevant.
Well, the guy's a fraud anyway, so Roger Clemens, he's already proven that. But anyway, this is Patriots, and obviously, we've got to talk about the Super Bowl. Because
why?
Well, I mean, you know, even if you're going to bitch about it.
If we talk about the Super Bowl, we might as well talk about a preseason game from 1978, because that's what it was equivalent to.
Talk about the Super Bowl, talk about the commercials, Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana not showing up for that MVP thing. What do you think about that?
I don't really care.
You don't care?
I don't care if they chose not to show up for the reasons that they claim they did. I think it's weak if Joe Montana was demanding a guarantee of $100,000.
Well, what if he's in money trouble?
He was going to get a lot of money. There were appearances that they were guaranteed.
Oh.
They just couldn't guarantee that he would make $100,000.
Maybe he's in trouble.
Plus, it's a first-class weekend at the Super Bowl where you're getting all these opportunities, photo ops and signing opportunities. He could have made as much money as he wanted to make. And I just think if that's true, I think that's weak.
Well,
and it makes me think a lot less of Joe Montana. If he really wanted to spend time with his kids, if he promised his children, he claimed that they had games that he promised that he'd be at, if that's why he didn't go, more power to him. I think that's wonderful.
What if, were they allowed to just come for that? Or did they have
to
come? Yeah. Okay.
Well, he said, you know, his career is over. The Super Bowl is over. It's, you know, I don't mind that. Some people are like that. Some people, when they retire, they leave football behind.
That's why I said, if that's truly the reason, then I have no problem with it.
Why is he dressing up in a 49ers uniform to do a FedEx commercial and look lame?
Very good. That's true. Very good, Andy.
He looks really bad.
Wasn't he also in that quarterback throwing contest?
Yeah,
they
didn't even mention his name because he wasn't even close. They just said, they made it seem like it was between Sims and Theismann.
Theismann and Montana
was
also
there,
throwing,
but they
right?
never mentioned his
Sims
name.
Sims looked like he was dominating. By
what was the contest?
They had targets set up, and they just kept throwing. It was, you know,
past weekend.
Yeah, they made it seem like it was between like Sims and Montana, or Sims and Theismann, the announcer. But right there was Montana throwing too, so he must have hit like one bullseye or something. He wasn't even close.
Well, Sims is the youngest, right? So he should be automatically the favorite.
No, I mean he may be technically the youngest, but I mean, what are we talking about? Months difference with Montana? I mean, Theismann's clearly the oldest of the three, but Sims and Montana both came into the league in the late 70s. So, I mean, if there's a difference in age, it's negligible.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We have plenty of emails already in. We'll get to those. Thank you for all the pre-mails that we're getting. And, guys, I think it's a consensus that everyone was a little disappointed with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just not a well-played game, not well-officiated.
Commercials.
I thought it was not well-coached. And I think Andy's right. Even the commercials were a letdown.
Halftime sucked. Although I must have missed the part where they turned their mic off.
No, I heard that clearly.
Make a dead man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They turn it down because I was hitting my brother at the time because my mother's there, my mother-in-law's there, and I was really anxious to see what they were going to do with that without being able to say, this is coming up, because I didn't want to offend anybody in the room. And they clearly just dropped the sound on that line.
Well, pretty much that halftime performance was the only thing that could have gone into sudden death.
See what he did there?
You like that?
That's a good one.
I was going to say he thought about it all week, and he delivered it without problem.
The only impressive part was the stage. I thought the stage was very cool.
The stage was good.
Other than that, I thought it was all lame and...
I'm not a big halftime show fan anyway.
Oh, but
that
you could have
had Eminem.
But I didn't like it.
It was in Detroit. You could have had Eminem. Your song could have come out. You could have had vomit in his sweater.
I would have rather.
Mom's spaghetti. Would have been tremendous.
I would rather have seen Eminem. No, no.
He had gone,
but it wouldn't have been any different.
Song.
I want to see Eminem.
You know, own it. You own it. You own it.
Give me a break. You want to see Eminem sing live?
Yeah.
I would.
Why? He sucks.
Have you ever
seen him sing on Saturday Night Live or anyplace else?
I saw him do...
He sucks.
I saw him perform that song at the Grammys, and it was awesome. It was complete... It was
I
awesome.
Really like that song a lot. I know Andy makes fun of me all the time, but I really, really enjoy that song. I never get sick of it. Every time it's on the radio, I'm like, and I turn it up.
That song at the Grammys...
It says spaghetti.
It was an awesome performance. It was really good.
I don't care about Eminem.
Wow.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't care about you too either, but I have to listen to that. You know, like the 2001 halftime show was like some mind-altering experience.
Whoa! That was the best halftime show to date.
See,
it was.
Did
the
nothing
U2?
For me.
It was no different to me than last night was. Sunday night was.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, it was way better than the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I've,
way better.
Nothing.
If you like
close.
U2, sure. Right. I don't have any use for U2.
All right. Well,
I thought it was
nothing has come.
But at least they're not 80-year-old men running around in tight pants. It's embarrassing, Paul. Yeah. Get them off the stage.
I didn't want to see that.
They're the greatest rock and roll band of all time. Why? Because they've been playing for 50 years. They suck.
For some reason, you're saying that I liked the Rolling Stones performance. I said it was no different to me. The U2 was no different to me than.
Oh, see, I'm
just saying it was a better performance.
I had no use for either of them.
I
had no use for either.
Disagree.
I really enjoyed. The one they got in all the trouble for, not because he ripped Janet Jackson's top off, but that's music that is out now.
I don't like Kid Rock though. I have no use for Kid Rock.
I don't mind Kid Rock.
I don't mind
him.
He's another guy who could have. Isn't he from Detroit?
Yeah,
he could have performed.
As far as a
could have gotten some pop out of it. Kid Rock.
I mean, you too. It just to me is just the most pretentious. You know, Bono. I couldn't have any less use for a human.
Well, maybe
being.
Maybe you don't agree with Bono's politics, but.
Nothing to do with his politics, because I don't know enough about his politics.
I don't
know.
That's
why you just don't
I
like
just think
him,
he's
right?
a pretentious, pompous windbag.
Okay, well, he gets involved in politics, and that's what makes him pretentious and a windbag.
I'm talking about how he carries himself. Never mind what he's saying.
Okay, but...
I'm sorry, I can't have an opinion that's different than yours.
That performance, that 15-minute performance was the best halftime performance to date. And...
Says you.
I right. Exactly.
Says me. Yes,
I don't think it was great, because I personally, I don't care who the person is, I think you need more of an upbeat, almost a hip-hoppy. I think you need that kind of a pop, a wow.
I think everybody is blown away by that particular year because it was 9/11, and, you know, everybody was like, oh, this is really serious. We have to be, you know, somber and
I think you're
you know,
wrong,
thoughtful.
Andy. I don't think they want hip. It's not, you know, it's not. Boys in the Hood aren't the only people sitting there watching the Super Bowl. People
I didn't
love
say
that.
Boys in the Hood. It can be anybody. I just
people
think it needs
loved
to be
Paul
upbeat.
McCartney last year.
You want up with
it.
People?
They
remember when
Paul
they used
McCartney.
To do that?
No, I didn't.
I
was
thought
awful.
Paul McCartney sucked, and I heard other people who like Paul McCartney said it sucked because it was just boring. I think you need hip-hop, dance, whether it's Usher or Justin Timberlake or somebody. You need
Usher.
Somebody who can
Usher
get
would
take,
be great.
I'd take Usher.
Usher
I just,
would be
you
great.
Upbeat.
Usher
I don't
would
think
be
you
great.
Can just do the normal rock, and I don't think it gets people going.
Well, I think when you look
Usher
at it.
Certainly doesn't get me going.
See, I think
he's a great talent.
But I think what you're seeing is that that's the problem, is that everybody has different tastes.
And nobody really cares about the halftime show, no matter
who
you
are. That's the biggest.
And that's how I, and that's exactly, and finally Tom and I are on the same page, because that's exactly how I feel.
What if they had Jessica Simpson?
I still won. I don't care.
I liked the one where
they had
Brittany in the football pants. Was that a halftime?
Oh, that was the Giants Baltimore woman with Aerosmith.
Where she had Brittany socks on her arms and stuff.
Yeah, that was a lot more. In my opinion, that was a lot better to watch and listen to than U2 or the Rolling Stones.
And I also kind of like the setup they used for the Stevie Wonder, different people coming in, parts of songs. If they modernized it, if they did that with, you know, 6 or 8, Kid Rock, Eminem, Usher.
Let me ask you something.
Boom. I like
that stuff. What about Kiss singing Detroit Rock City?
That would have been great.
Now that's good.
That would have been awesome.
Well, how about if we had done Kiss, Kid Rock, Eminem, and somebody else from
Detroit?
Now
that I can live
Give
with.
Me a montage of those, and I think it would have been tremendous. I think the place would have gone nuts.
That would have been fantastic.
Because you would have had a little something for everybody.
Right.
Instead,
that
you
That I don't
nothing.
Mind if you have something. I'm just saying, I don't know if an all-hip-hop thing would work, but
no,
if you had a little bit of it
some
mixed
degree
in,
of that. You
right.
had nothing. You had this old... Some
modern
whatever they were singing,
anyway.
Stevie Wonder and them, though, I thought that was bad, too.
That Aaron Neville, man, they got to get him off.
Yeah,
he was the worst ever. Worst
you
ever.
Know, thank you for all the work you've done for the NFL, but, you know, see you later. You
know, Fred, say it.
Bad.
What?
Aaron Neville's national anthem, say it.
It was an abomination.
But say what you say every week when someone does it. It's not a song that's open for interpretation.
Well, that's true. You know?
He was the worst ever, because I couldn't tell what he was singing when he started.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the song was.
Not good.
Well, anyway, so...
So we ripped the entertainment. now it's on to the officials.
Oh, go make you sweat. Go make you groove.
I like that.
I'd rather listen to Fred Kirsch than you two.
If you could get Led Zeppelin, but they're all dead, half of them.
So then it would be really impressive. Tough booking.
Why don't we get Elvis in there while we're at it?
Even Gary couldn't book that one.
No, they can do better. They can do better. But a lot of these bands, they don't want to go and perform for 15 minutes. You got to be there 3 days early and rehearse and all this crap. They probably pay them pretty good, I'm sure. But it's just, you know, I'm sure they don't really care that much about it. So you got to catch somebody that's got an album coming out or something like that.
Your lackey has arrived with your lunch.
My lunch from Bob Doyle of PVN fame. How's it going, Bob?
Wow.
Well, there's your change.
You bring change?
Thank you.
I never bring him change when I do it.
Rookie mistake right there.
Oh. Bob,
gas expense?
I continue getting lunches for the service. They included a napkin. I noticed they didn't put one in.
Wow, thank you, Bob. There we go.
Suck up.
It's all about service these days. It's that extra little mile.
Service with a smile.
You know?
He's certainly servicing you.
Oh. All right. All right, so referees. Referees.
I'm going to do something,
they
you
cost
know,
me money.
For
personal
you know,
this time. Yeah. They cost me money on that touchdown.
That was the only enjoyment I got out of the Super Bowl is when I turned and said, that just cost Andy $70.
I know a lot of people said
I almost missed it because I was celebrating my money.
Just to let you know, fill the listeners in, there was a little pool going on within the Patriots offices here. I was not part of it, but Andy and Tom were with a bunch of guys from Media Relations.
You weren't part of a pool?
No.
First touchdown scored.
And Andy had and whoever, Jackson. You know, everybody picked names out of the hat. Andy had Darryl Jackson.
And he scored!
He scored and it got called back.
Then the nitwit referee reaching for his thing, throwing the flag.
Most
I heard someone on the wine line yesterday saying it took him so long because he was reaching back and he had the terrible towel and he had to find the flag.
That's good.
He didn't throw it until he hit the ground and rolled over. He did not throw it with contact.
It was a very late flag. There's no question.
One thing I read said that there were 7 bad calls in this game.
Well, I know. I read the NFL today said that they were none. Well, did you see that?
5 of them went against the Seahawks. However, in my – only 2 bad calls were made against the Seahawks, in my opinion.
Okay, that one.
Obviously, the Hasselbeck one was definitely –
the Hasselbeck one and the phantom holding call.
Now the hold –
I thought the hold was a hold.
See,
funny.
I don't. See, I disagree with Paul on one thing.
Was out here?
The hold, I thought, was the biggest – call because
I think it was a big call.
That was because that's the one that could have changed the entire game. You're giving Seattle 1st and goal to you got Sean Alexander, you're up 17-14.
I just thought it was a hold.
You're telling Roethlisberger, go out and make a play, you're behind, and he's been struggling all game. So that's the one I thought could have really changed the aspect of the game. I personally did not think it was a hold.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a big call, don't get me wrong. I just thought it was a hold. I thought he had him hooked, and I thought the guy might have actually sacked Hasselbeck on that play, you know, if that didn't happen.
Paul, you were sitting with me. It was Brian Morey sitting with me on the way back from Denver.
At dinner?
No, on the plane. Was it
in
Brian?
First class?
Brian was right next to you, but I was right behind you.
Picture after picture after picture, because I'm reviewing the photos after the game, of Lepsis grabbing somebody's shirt, play after play after play. It's unbelievable. And they didn't call any of them.
See, that's wrong. They called three of them. Denver was called three times for holding that. The Patriots declined two of them.
They did a lot more than that.
How do you... I'm not even going to argue with you.
Because I had photo after photo after photo.
How do you know it wasn't all the same play?
It wasn't all the same play.
Well, the bottom line is the referees had an effect on the outcome of the game.
How could it be the same play? There's only two photographers.
You can't even discount the Hasselbeck penalty, because that was a 15-yarder that
put
the Steelers at midfield, and that's where they run their trick plays
from. That was an embarrassing call.
To me,
that gave Randall L. the ability to run that play.
To me, those are the only two bad calls. I think Roethlisberger got in.
I thought that was a horrible call.
I think Roethlisberger got in. I think the non-call, I don't think it was a touchdown at the end of the half, because even though you hit the pylon, the rule is the pylon's not out of bounds, but it's not in bounds either. It's neither.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. They changed the rule.
Fred, the question is, does he have to have 2 feet in bounds to make a catch? Now, if that was a running back running the last 10 yards and he got 1 foot at the 1 yard line in and then kicked the pylon, that would have been a touchdown. The question that changes it here is, he caught a pass. Does he have to establish himself in bounds with the ball? That's what I don't know as far as the rule goes. But if he's running down the sideline and has 1 foot here and the other foot hits the pylon and knocks it over, that's a touchdown.
Only if the ball crosses the plane.
Wrong.
No, that it's not wrong, because I read the rule. The rule was changed because it used to be where the pylon was.
I'm
going to
go with Bill Belichick on this one in his commentary off of the 2004 playoffs.
Okay, well, the rule used to be that the pylon was considered out of bounds. They changed that so that if you hit the pylon, you're not out of bounds, but it doesn't mean you're in bounds. It doesn't mean you're in bounds.
But does that make any sense
at
all?
I don't know the rule, because the pylon
is extending from... You know, up, it's vertical.
I'm telling you, Bill Belichick, and you should know this because you were, you know, part of the whole production. He talked about that Corey Dillon run against the Colts in the playoffs right here at Gillette Stadium. He said that play should have been ruled a touchdown by rule.
I recollect that.
By rule, it should have been ruled a touchdown. No, not because of that, because he hit the pylon.
Paul, I showed you the play, and you're like, oh, yeah, it is.
It clearly should have been a touchdown. We all said that live.
They ruled it because they said his foot went out of bounds. His foot never went out of bounds. He had 2 feet in.
But he hit the pylon. You're saying that pylon's not in bounds. It is in bounds.
The ball crossed the plane.
I'm just telling you, Fred, it doesn't matter. Crossing plane, no crossing plane. If you hit the pylon and you're in bounds, it's a touchdown.
Well,
that's all I'm telling you.
This ball crossed the plane, too.
Right. Which one?
The touchdown.
No, I don't think it is. It did.
I don't see.
The
I
ball
think,
across the plane.
I then. Think where there might be a. First of all, I don't know if he actually hit the pylon with his front leg. Like, he had the right leg hit in bounds at like the 2 yard line. The left leg sweeps by. I don't know if he hits the pylon with the left leg or that leg lands out of bounds and then the back leg hit the pylon. I can't tell from watching the replay. But if it did hit with the front leg, I'm not sure. That's still not sure that that's a touchdown by rule.
That's
I don't
correct.
Know if it's
and it isn't, Paul. That's what I'm telling
because
you.
Because I think when you're catching a ball, I think you have to establish.
So why is it not a
bounds.
Touchdown? Give me the specific
because
reason.
The pylon is neither inbounds is neither an indicator of inbounds or out of bounds. It's neither. It used to be out of bounds. If you hit the pylon, you were judged out of bounds. But that's not the case anymore. But it doesn't mean
this
you're
must
inbound.
Have been in the old days because I never remember that.
Yeah.
I never remember the pylon ever being considered out
and
of bounds.
And they changed the rule.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying the ball, you're not out of bounds if you hit the pylon, but the ball still has to be over the
exactly.
See,
I'm saying that that's wrong because I've seen countless times where a running back goes to the corner and the ball's on the outside arm and he's leaning back and maybe has 1 foot and then kicks that pylon and gets buried out of bounds and it's a touchdown.
The ball,
in countless examples.
You know
of that.
The ball has
and
to
the
cross
ball never
the plane.
Well,
never
the ball doesn't
the
have to cross the plane. We've seen plenty of times
no,
like that. A guy can dive out of bounds with his toes in
yeah,
bounds.
Yeah, but he's establishing
his
feet in bounds, right?
But isn't this what this guy's trying to do, establish his feet
but
in bounds?
But that's what I'm saying. By hitting the pylon, he did not establish
okay,
his feet in
okay, if that's the rule you're going
that's
with,
that's a different thing.
Nothing
don't
to do with
take
the ball.
Take the ball out. That's
the ball
all I'm
not
saying.
Involved here.
Right. If you have 2 feet in bounds, and I mean, okay. in the end zone, and the ball's not crossing,
so you're telling
the ball,
me he never established...
Hey,
you're saying
okay.
he never established himself in bounds, and
go with that.
And I'm agreeing with
you. Nor did the ball cross the plane.
But that's just...
but
confusing
thing.
I'm agreeing with you that he never established
himself. We've proven
himself
before that the ball doesn't always have to cross the plane.
But I think what we can all agree on was there were several calls that were wrong.
Right, and I just want to point out,
even though the NFL came out and said yesterday that the game was accurately officiated, which is a bunch of crap.
That's an
another example of they only admit the mistakes when the team that got the mistakes made against them ultimately wins. Like the Pittsburgh
they should
interception,
be
the Polamalu
they should be
interception.
Ashamed of themselves.
And I think they probably internally are. They just don't want to sell themselves
out.
They're
making people look stupid. And you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon the product's going to suffer because we'll just start watching college football. If they're going to put that kind of performance on the Super Bowl on that stage, we'll just watch the Rose Bowl then. We don't care.
We got an email.
Listen, Fred, let me ask you a quick question. You said that wasn't pass interference. You said that wasn't offensive. That was
pass interference. Fred thinks it was offensive.
If Deion Branch did that, would you? And all the Patriot fans were going crazy, what would you say?
I'd have to say it was because
did it
give the guy an advantage? Probably not. But the fact is he extended his arm into the body of the other guy right in front of the ref. The ref really has no other choice.
See, here's
he
the thing.
Can't judge
if you
whether
look
or
up,
not
it's pushing off, it's not touching.
Well,
that's interference.
You know what? You're not supposed to even armbar the guy.
So,
I mean, by rule,
but fans
this is one of those
about Asani Samuel's call.
Right.
He extended his arm, so it's pass interference.
Right. And you know what? I thought that was a bad call.
How are you shaking your head?
I thought,
just used your own logic.
I thought the Samuel call was a bad call, and I think Ben Watson got called for a couple of offensive pass interferences this season that were very similar to that one in the Super Bowl, and I thought those were bad calls. The problem is, by rule, Fred's right. But the way they have the rule written in the book, that contact, that arm bar, for lack of a better term, is a penalty, whether you push off or just hold the guy at bay. You're not supposed to be able to do that. And I think it's wrong because it's supposed to be a judgment call. And you're supposed to judge, did the guy get some sort of advantage on it?
Right.
And he didn't. And
well, that's the problem.
The fact that it was so late even makes it worse to me. I agree with Tom and Andy here. I just don't see how you can call. And I wanted Pittsburgh to win the game. And I can sit there and separate myself enough to say, even though the team that I wanted to win the game ultimately benefited from that call, I thought it was wrong. I thought it was the wrong call to make. And I don't see any difference between that, if you want to go black and white rule, than any other rule, like the Tuck rule.
But see, I wanted Seattle to win, and I still think it was the right call.
Yeah, but you saw that. I'm willing to bet right now, if you watch that entire game, Hines Ward did the same thing at some point in that game.
But did he do it right in front?
Well, the other problem I have is the other guy touched him. The defensive back touches him.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any penalty on the defensive guy, so I've heard a lot of people say it should have been illegal contact.
I don't think it should have been. I think the
contact was initiated by the offensive guy, but I don't think it was a penalty. That's all.
If that's Jerry Rice, there ain't no flag coming out. And if you say different, you're lying. There's no way.
I will say this, though, Tom. I've heard a lot of people bring up Michael Irvin in that. Michael Irvin got called for a lot of those.
Oh, he did.
He got away with a lot more, but he got called for a lot of those.
They asked him, knowing that he's the master of it, and he said, let me tell you, if I got called for those ones, he said, I wouldn't even be up for them.
As a matter of fact, and you'll remember this, he got called for one of those that negated the touchdown against Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 30.
On the sidelines, he told the referee, that was a good call. I pushed him out of the way.
Yeah, cost me a square.
Well, two things here. The one at the end of the half cost me a square, $125, that pylon. And second, let me read you a couple things here, Fred.
All right.
Now, I'll admit this is the 2004 official, not the 2005 official play rule book, but I don't know that they changed any of this. Under offensive pass interference, actions that constitute offensive pass interference include but are not limited to initiating contact with a defender by shoving or pushing, thus creating a separation in an attempt to catch a pass.
Right.
You already said to me he didn't create the separation with the arm. You already admitted that.
No, I didn't. I never said
yes,
that.
You did.
Well, you weren't watching the same game. You weren't watching the same game.
And then the other one that I'd like to read here. If there is any question whether player contact is incidental, the ruling should be no interference. So if you're in any way in doubt, you don't have to call it. They're saying if you're in doubt, don't call it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call it.
Also, did you happen? And this is kind of it's related to this, but a little off the point. Did you happen to hear Mike Pereira last week was on with Mike Felger on ESPN Radio?
I heard about it,
and he did wholeheartedly agree with our contention that the pass interference penalty. Defensive pass interference I'm talking about needs to be changed to a 15-yard penalty.
Yes. That's a good...
He's been trying to lobby the people about that, and he keeps hearing the same thing over and over again about, Randy Moss would never catch a pass in this league.
It's
because they would just
they don't want to go to the college rules.
They say Randy Moss
can't admit the colleges can do something better than they do.
The people say the arguments that Pereira said that he gets all the time is a guy like Randy Moss would never catch a pass in this league. And Pereira's argument back to them is, do you mean to tell me that you would just tackle him all the way down the field?
15 yards.
Well, that makes a lot. That's what he said. He goes, that makes a lot of sense. 15, 15, 15, 15, 7 and a half, 3 and a half, touchdown. That makes a lot of sense. That's a good defensive strategy.
And we already hear all the time how much of a game-changing play a 15-yard penalty is.
Yeah.
And it's some other kind of penalty.
Well,
it's
look at the Hasselbeck one.
Game-changing
play. What I would consider, and I would disagree with Tom, I would consider that a meaningless penalty because it's bad as the... That was the worst, single worst call I think I've ever seen.
Could be.
Certainly this year, anyway. But as bad as it was, that's a 15-yard penalty. That's a huge penalty.
My point is that conservative cower might have not broke out that play if they weren't at midfield.
Right.
He was back to his old shell of, let's run the bus up the middle seven times in a row.
But they had gotten a first down after that before they did the play, so who's to say they wouldn't have gotten another one?
Okay, so you say part of it is they don't want to admit that college's rules are better.
Yeah.
What if they – did you see the email we got? The guy said make it a half the distance to the ball penalty instead of a straight –
I just go 15 yards.
Because more often than not, that's going to,
Listen,
much often is it more than a 45, 50-yard penalty?
No,
so it's going to end up being
It's always going to be between, I'd say, 25 and like 45 yards, somewhere in that area.
First
it's going to end up
for
a major pass interference.
A 12 to 20-yard penalty.
First of all, they got a referee in the Super Bowl who overturns plays less than any other referee in the league. No good. Get him the hell out of there. He's no good. Because that means he won't admit a mistake that his crew made. Now, the Roethlisberger touchdown was very close. I'm not saying that was a horrendous...
I don't consider that a bad call.
Right, I'm not
I don't
saying
either.
That, but I'm just saying, this is the type of crap I can't stand. Because they need me and Andy and Paul up there with
remote
controls.
I'm not included.
Because you're too biased.
You're biased. You'd be fine as long as the Patriots...
You've contradicted yourself eight times in a half hour.
I'm the one that said the call that went against the team I was rooting for was the right call.
If we could come up with a league that we needed to do this in that didn't involve the Patriots, then you could join us. But somehow you'd find a way that your calls would benefit the Patriots
in
some way.
I'll recuse myself when the Patriots are playing.
No, it wouldn't have to be the Patriots playing, but somehow you'd work it so it affected the Patriots
in
some way.
I have to admit the Raiders and Steelers would never get a call.
Right,
but,
you know what I mean?
He'd be five games ahead.
I'm not saying, but if this happens.
Well, I thought one of the funny things was, and I was glad to see Holmgren take a shot at the officials, because I always enjoy a good shot at the officials.
I so agree with that.
But you know what?
Because I'm the worst loser in the world.
If I was a Seahawks fan there, I would have yelled out, hey, Mike, did you forget to coach during that game,
well, that's
too?
The other thing.
Yeah.
Because
I think
Mike management.
Yeah,
you know how sometimes the famous coaches, they kind of talk to other famous coaches in the off season. Like, we've heard about Belichick talking to Jimmy Johnson the last couple of years. I think Holmgren's going to talk to some of the other coaches and say, "So this 2-minute drill, how do you do it?
Yeah,
you practice
because
that during
he
the week."
He looked like he had never taken part in a 2-minute. It both halves.
It looked like
both
he, it looked like he coached under Andy Reid. That's what it looked like because I saw
Andy Reid looked like Vince Lombardi compared to what Mike Holmgren did Sunday night. And both halves. That was awful.
And one more topic. Well, we're still on the officials. I see we're about to move on here.
Why?
Well, because we're going to
talk the other part about the Roethlisberger play, the touchdown, was just that same thing about Andy's point about how late the offensive pass interference was. The guy clearly ran
in. Changed his mind midway.
The guy clearly ran in. He was going to spot the ball.
Oh, I don't know. I talked to Steve Grogan last night. We had a thing, and he said that he was so upset because he was listening to EEI. And they were talking about, the guy ran in, he had his hand up. He goes, the first thing you do when the play's dead is you run in with your fist. It's a time clock thing. He put his hand up, and that's what he did do.
But he didn't have his fist up.
Well, Pete Shepard was saying he had four fingers up to indicate fourth down.
No, he didn't.
Well, no, that's what Grogan said. That's not what he was doing. The ref ran in.
If he had his fist up, that would indicate fourth down, because they don't put four fingers up for fourth down. It's 1, 2, 3 fist.
Well, Grogan was saying that he was doing what he normally does. He wasn't.
I don't agree.
I don't think that's accurate.
Okay, well,
I agree with Steve.
I'm just telling you what an ex-NFL player.
They put their hands up and go touchdown.
Wednesdays from Grogan.
But that's just ridiculous Fred Kirschism right there, because we're not saying that we know more about football than Steve. We're just saying that we saw a play differently than he did. That's all.
Okay.
We're not talking about the procedures of what the referee does. We think that the guy ran in initially looking to spot the ball, and then at some point he thought it was a touchdown. He put his hands up well after the fact. When I saw the play happen live, I was convinced once we see this angle from the outside, from that camera on that sideline, from where that side judge had run in from, we're going to see that Roethlisberger, probably half his body is going to be in the end zone. Because I was thinking the guy must not have been able to see him, but then once he got there and it unfolded and he saw how far in the end zone he was, he put his hands up for a touchdown. When I saw that when he got there, he had never really even gotten in the end zone, I was stunned by how late the touchdown call. Now, again, I saw the replay a million times. I think that the tip of the ball barely broke the plane of the end zone. But if they had called it no touchdown,
right. No,
I don't think
key,
they would have been able to call it a touchdown.
That's the key. It's what the call on the field was.
But I think
they got it right.
We have to be honest,
at the end
though,
of the day.
Jeremy Stephens, I mean, the guy took seven steps with the right. ball and it got knocked out.
Yeah,
and didn't
which,
call it a
which
fumble.
Nobody talking about this game mentions those fumbles at all that Seattle had.
Close.
That one was egregious. I mean, that couldn't have changed the momentum of the game.
I mean, that was terrible. He took three steps with it.
And the whistle blows immediately. So what happens to the ball after that? Like a lot of people say, well, the ball just rolled around and no one... That's because the whistle blew. No one went after it.
But what do you guys think? I heard Holmgren talking, and he referred to the Seahawks as they. He said they played a good game, and next time they're in this situation, they'll know better how... I thought that was interesting that he didn't use the word we and he said they.
Fred would definitely jump. If there was another coach that said that, Fred would definitely be jumping all over.
But don't you think that's a weird
one,
choice
Dwayne
of words
Charles Parcells?
To refer to the team as they and
yes,
not
I do.
Us or
well,
we.
I don't you think that's strange.
You don't know the setup. The only thing I would say is if somebody referred to like a group of players and said, you know, you have a young defense and guys like Michael Bolwer and Lofa Tatupu, and if he said they,
did he right. play, did he
then
play
it's okay.
That? Tatupu?
He got killed. Yeah, he got. He played. He got killed.
Yeah.
He had a bad game.
Yeah, Joey Porter didn't have that great a game either.
No, he did nothing.
No. So. Nobody did.
I was going to say, nobody on either team had a great game.
Ben Roethlisberger threw up a wing and a prayer that Hines Ward caught, and then they had one trick play, and then that was why
the
Hines
best
Ward
throw that
MVP.
Roethlisberger made all day, Hines Ward dropped in the end zone.
Yeah.
That was a great
throw. It was a catchable ball.
Catchable? Any receiver in football makes that catch.
Yeah. So...
Although, did the ball cross the goal line? Because I wasn't sure.
And I was telling Paul, what about the punter? Five punts into the end zone?
Awful.
Five punts into the end zone? Peter Warrick lets two balls drop right next to him?
That's why, see, but that's my contention that, I think these calls that we're talking about, I think were bad. But this is why my contention is, I don't think they lost the game for Seattle.
No.
Seattle lost the game for Seattle.
They had a lot of chances. They had a lot of
Pittsburgh played awful, and Seattle was that much worse. And that's why Seattle lost.
Yeah. I agree. It was a poorly played game.
Hey, what happened to your sub?
I the lettuce was a little wilted, so I didn't.
See, it looks like a rat ate it. You ate around all the edges.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to that place. Often.
Of course, they are a sponsor, I believe, so we won't mention
the
are they
commercials? I enjoyed the FedEx commercial.
I know
a lot.
You did.
It was okay.
I liked the one where the girlfriend got hit because I did that to my girlfriend
I
once.
Missed
knocked
that.
Her
oh.
out. It gave her a bloody
well,
nose.
Do you notice,
picked up the ball.
Do you notice like
a touchdown?
Do you notice?
I don't
like,
think girls should play football.
The whole
not
backlash against
the
whole backlash against sex on Super Bowl Sunday. So many of the commercials now are violence. Because if
that's
it's not sex,
right.
it's going to be violence. So
the guys like Tom hitting the girlfriend.
Yeah, everybody's
in the
getting
that
everybody
one. I
getting
at.
Beat the hell out of.
I liked the zapper where they killed the fly, and then the family comes in and goes, "That one killed him."
I don't remember that one.
See, because I didn't see the girlfriend.
I might have only played in Attleboro.
Obviously, any commercial.
I live in Attleboro, so I wouldn't know.
Any commercial with monkeys is good. Any commercial.
Yeah.
All you got to do is throw a monkey in
dress
a suit.
Monkeys up, I'm laughing.
Yeah. Those ad executives that have monkey commercials earn every penny.
It's like the basics. It's like knowing who Bill Belichick's going to pick for a coach.
Right.
If you have monkeys, fat kids, humor, you're going to have a good commercial.
Exactly.
It's not that hard.
You don't have to.
It's the ones that go outside the box and try to do frickin' show tunes with people dressed up as pieces of a burger laying on each other.
That was
that's
awful.
The worst commercial I've ever watched.
That commercial was very after
Brooke
all
Burke
the
was in that commercial though.
Was very
but
it was
use Brooke Burke. Use Brooke
they,
Burke.
For, they
you can put her to better
that,
use.
Fred. Yeah, they edited that. I saw the real commercial, and let me tell you, it was a whole lot
all
better.
All their commercials are way better than
the Daddy one was edited a lot.
The NFL has targeted them. The NFL specifically watches theirs.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was a bad Super Bowl all the way around. I mean, you wanted to see the level of play that we saw when Vince Young and Matt Leinart were on that field, and you had that. You could argue, well, they didn't play any defense in that game. Not true. First half, there wasn't much scoring at all. It's once those offenses got rolling, it was just you couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
You know, then when you watch the Super Bowl, you want that same kind of feeling of watching, you know, the two best teams.
The Carolina Patriots game was a perfect game like that.
Yeah.
Whoever had that ball last was going to win.
And the first and third quarters were great defense, and the second and fourth, it was great offense.
Did you hear they tried to compare it? At some point, they said, you know, this will this be something like the Patriots-Panthers?
Gets on a roll.
Whoever the commentator.
Because they said it was like kind of a bad game so far.
They were trying to say, don't worry, it could get good really quick. It did a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And it didn't.
But that was really good defense. It wasn't teams making stupid plays.
I agree with you, Fred. There's a difference between...
Plus, nothing the Patriots ever do could ever be considered not good.
But you know what I'm saying?
Why do you have to do that?
Fred, I think you're right on this one, because there's a difference between a great defensive play stopping a first down and forcing a punt and just utter ineptitude.
I'm just mocking Fred since he contradicts himself so often.
And, you know, and like I was telling Paul, after the bad... Three of us think bad pass interference call on Gerald Jackson.
Three out of four.
They have a first and 20, right? They're throwing the ball all over Pittsburgh. So what does Holmgren do? Runs up the gut twice with Sean Alexander, makes it third and 23. What kind of coaching is that? Seriously.
It was the pattern that was established by Holmgren. Seattle's offense was like textbook West Coast, quick, short passes designed to eliminate the Steelers' blitz. And Darryl Jackson looked like Jerry Rice.
They would go from their own
20 to Pittsburgh's 45, and then Holmgren reduced the playbook to two plays. The dive that Tom is talking about to Alexander in the middle of the line for nothing, or a bomb.
Bomb in the end zone.
That was it. That was all they would, on the plus side of the field, that's all they ran.
Which is why he got what he deserved. He had the opportunity to do something no coach has ever done, and he didn't deserve
it. Not quite ready for that kind of
And the gods made sure of it.
Well, did you all see Belichick on there?
Yeah.
Did you all get a big laugh as I did when they asked him who has the advantage in this game? And I was just thinking, you're expecting him to give you pick a winner in this game? And then, of course, he said, I'd say coaching's even. I'll say offense is even. And I give a slight advantage to the defense to Pittsburgh. In other words, he liked Pittsburgh. That was his way of saying it.
Well, it always comes down to the team that performs better. So.
Or not quite as poorly.
Right. Yeah, this one came down to the team that performed worse because they ended up
less poorly.
Right.
So
no one executed well in that one.
All right.
It was too bad because I really wanted to see Roethlisberger in particular kind of have that, because he played so well in the playoffs, and I wanted to see him have a big game, and then it kind of like sets the stage for the future. Now it's, you know, everybody's kind of tired of the Peyton Manning, will he ever do it?
Now we can do Roethlisberger.
It would have been Roethlisberger or Brady, you know? And I think
speaking of Brady, explanation of why he did the coin?
It was just so awkward.
No active player has ever done this before.
It's quite an honor.
But why him? Why did they do that?
I thought it was awkward.
I mean,
it was very awkward.
There was never anything, well, you know, we chose Tom Brady because...
Right.
He was going to wear that fancy velvet
coat. How about Aikman? He just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. Wouldn't he have been a more suitable
Bart Starr?
One of the other 28 guys or whoever were.
Wouldn't it have made sense, though, on the 40th anniversary to have Bart Starr and Len Dawson, both of whom were there because they were past MVPs. They were the quarterbacks in Super Bowl I. Why not just have them?
I'd have been pissed if I was them. You know,
I just want to know why. I think it's great. I love seeing him out there. I think it's kind of a dig at the other teams. But why?
I just think it's dumb.
I guess it was
funny that he didn't have any interaction with the Pittsburgh guys. Right. Only
all on the one side.
I guess the Patriots don't get any love, though.
No respect.
Right. Because they have Belichick on the pregame. They got Brady doing the coin toss. I mean,
no respect, Tom.
No respect.
All right.
Plus, half of the national commentators couldn't even get through the pregame without saying the Patriots are the best team in football and will win the 2006 Super Bowl.
Oh, did you see the odds?
How many times did you hear that?
5-1 Patriots to win, 4-1 Indy.
Yeah, Indy's still the favorite.
How many times did you hear?
I saw the Patriots were third.
How many times did you hear a national announcer say the Patriots are the favorite? I mean, Tom Jackson, Boomer Esiason.
I mean, on and on and on down the line. They all think the Patriots
Jackson's
are the best team.
Tom Jackson's going out of his way to suck right up. Now.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. Now, Troy Aikman doesn't have the kind of numbers like of a Testaverde or a Bledsoe, but he played well, very well, in the playoffs and in Super Bowls. Now, Roethlisberger did not play well in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Say he wins two more Super Bowls playing somewhat average. Does it automatically make you a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No, I don't. I think if he has seasons like he did this year, then yeah. I mean,
but
he played pretty
huge numbers.
But he played pretty well this year. His numbers are pretty impressive. I mean, he led the league in passer efficiency.
I know, but he won't have the huge numbers. He won't have a ton of touchdowns. He won't have a ton of yards. He won't have a ton of completions.
But I'm talking about Tom's point of where they won despite him Sunday, in my mind. He played that badly. I mean, 22 passer.
I think that affects it. I think you don't get into the Hall of Fame if you don't play well or decently in.
Just like, I'll be honest with you. I think if Brady had been the way he was in 2001 and won again that way in 3 and 4 and had regular seasons like he did in 01, I don't think he would be a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer based on how he did in 03 and 04 and assuming that he's continuing this path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2003, that was one of the single best individual performances you'll ever see in a Super Bowl. That's a Hall of Famer.
Jerome Solomon told me on ESPN.
Did you hear that, Fred?
Yeah, he wasn't even covering the NFL when
that was the thing. Andy came in and goes,
all over the place.
I saw Andy came in and
Paul
said,
couldn't go.
Remember, I couldn't do it. They called me to
ESPN
do that.
Paul.
Andy came in and goes,
I said, I know where you would have been.
I think I know where you would have been.
Jerome Solomon wasn't covering the team back then, and he's on this like Super Bowl special talking about Tom Brady.
He wasn't even covering the NFL back then, was he?
It was last minute they called me. They needed me to be in Watertown to shoot something. Like I think it was like on training camp even. It was like on a Friday, and I was I can't just drop everything and go in the middle of the day. I just couldn't do it.
So he lost out on his, 10 seconds.
And Andy came in, first thing he said Monday, he goes, I think I know what they wanted you to do on that ESPN thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that. Did you watch a lot of stuff, like, over the weekend, like just random NFL films? And mm-hmm. Did you see the Lists show they did?
Yeah.
I thought that show was pretty good.
Oh, some of the lists sucked. Top 10.
Like, they didn't really have 10 for everything, so, 10 through 5 on some were awful. But, the re-kick one where they made Vince Lombardi re-kick. Did you know that one?
Still amazes me.
Super Bowl one,
they had
NBC
two kickoffs.
We're going to need you guys to re-kick.
They had
and
two kickoffs in the second half.
You kidding me? What if you ran the second one back for a touchdown?
That's unbelievable.
I mean, that's amazing. Oh.
NBC had some problems back in the day with that and the Heidi Bowl.
Yeah.
The Heidi game. A couple years later.
But then that Marcus Allen run got a lot of play, and that's just a great run.
Yeah, the funny thing is, though, that with this Super Bowl, as bad as it was, it set two records by 1 yard.
Yeah.
The interception and the run.
Yeah.
That Marcus Allen run was way better.
Yeah.
The Marcus Allen run is just...
It's a legitimate play.
When
Willie Parker goes, oh, my God, there's no one there. Run fast.
But it's amazing. How many times do you see a guy run that far between the hash marks, the Marcus Allen run? He's right down the middle of the field, and there's guys chasing
him.
Bo
Jackson.
And
it's like great runs he had.
And it's like there's no one. You know what I mean? It's like he's running, and everybody else is standing still.
All right. We've got a lot of emails. We're going to get to them right after this.
Intercepted, Rodney Harrison, and that is it. And the Patriots have done it again.
They did it again. For the third time in 4 years, your New England Patriots are Super Bowl champs.
Back to back, 3 out of 4.
NFL Films and the New England Patriots are proud to present 3 Games to Glory 3, the definitive keepsake from the Patriots' third world championship. 3 Games to Glory 3 is a unique behind-the-scenes look at the Patriots' run through the 2004 playoffs and their victory in Super Bowl 39. The Ultimate Patriots DVD includes every play from Super Bowl 39 and the playoff victories over the Colts and Steelers, and features more exclusive behind-the-scenes footage and one-on-one interviews than ever. This amazing 2-DVD set takes you into the locker room and onto the sideline. Coach Belichick breaks down the film, highlighting the key plays to victory. You'll hear from the players in the sidelines and get the players' take on the commentary track of the Super Bowl. The ultimate DVD for the ultimate Patriots fan. 3 Games to Glory 3. Available in the Patriots Pro Shop and online at Patriots.com. Complete your set and relive the glory.
To prove how easy it is to eat the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts, we've given one to Donito, the world-famous bongo player.
Mmm, delicious.
Unlike typical cinnamon buns or rolls, this warm cinnamon stick can be held in one hand, leaving your other hand free.
Yes, watch this.
As you can tell, he's enjoying the delicious spirals of cinnamon flavor and sweet icing.
Very good.
Best of all, this warm cinnamon stick never leaves you with a sticky, gooey mess like the usual cinnamon roll. To compare, I'm going to hand Donito one of those typical cinnamon rolls.
My hands! They're stuck to the bongos! Help me!
The freshly baked warm cinnamon stick. It'll leave you feeling satisfied, not sticky.
Donito is finished!
For a limited time, only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
Try the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. The shape makes it easy to eat, and the flavor is hard to resist. For a limited time only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
John Madden here. If you're really into football, you need to check out Sirius Satellite Radio's Any NFL Game Anywhere sweepstakes. One winner and a friend will travel to any NFL game anywhere each week of the 2006 regular NFL season. Imagine it. One weekend you're in Beantown watching the Patriots, then after you barely got your feet planted, boom, you're off flying across the country to San Diego. It's NFL action like you've never seen it. And only Sirius takes you there for the full MVP treatment.
Sirius gives you a front row seat for every NFL game every week. And you can be there in person if you win the Any NFL Game Anywhere sweepstakes. Enter at Sirius.com. No purchase necessary. Entry must be between 8-21-05 and 10-105. Must be 18 or over and a resident of the continental U.S. Visit Sirius.com for details and official rules. Void where prohibited. The NFL is a registered trademark of the National Football League. Air travel provided by Southwest Airlines, proud sponsor of the NFL. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
This is PFW in Progress.
Fuck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or, melanoma head. They'll call me that.
PFW in Progress.
Don't give me any crap, Maisie.
I'm telling you, said crap.
There's nothing wrong with crap.
Oh, really? I thought that was a swear.
No, you're thinking of sh**.
With Fred Kirsch.
Forget that we were perfectly happy. So thank them for getting treated like sh**t every day.
I'm telling on that one.
Paul Perillo.
What did you have, a few drinks this morning? Huh? I think you did, didn't you? In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God!
You low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of sh**.
And Andy. And Andy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On the rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story. What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Andy Hart.
You have much more hair than your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Some guy named Tom.
Your girlfriend?
Friend? And yes, she is a girl.
Are you supposed to marry her or something?
The subject has come up, yes, but nothing serious.
Maybe if you got married, you'd stop being such an ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm just calling to say I miss you. No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking a lot about you. I think about those two little dimples on your buns. what do we call them? One was on the right was Lyndon, and the left was Johnson. No, that was your boobs we did. Oh, your boobs were Minnie and Mickey. I remember that because of Disney World. And Felix. Felix is what we called you.
PFW in Progress.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
By the way, guys, driving home Monday, listening to the big show on EEI, desperately trying to get people to talk about the Red Sox and Roger Clemens. All people wanted to do was talk about the Super Bowl. So.
Clearly you want to talk about it. You've opened both hours with it.
So, just to let you know. All right, let's get to some emails. There's plenty of them, and thank you for listening.
Have you given out the address at all?
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Let's see. Who's this from? I don't know. But he says, love your show. I've been a Pats fan for over 40 years and thrilled with the team's success since Kraft and especially Belichick have been running the club. Proud of this team for not going into the tank after losing Cronell Weiss and all the injuries the team had to work through. But it is on to next year, and we've got some cap issues to deal with, as is the case every year. Locking up Seymour with a long-term deal seems an absolute must, even if Givens and some of the other Pats free agents are let go to stay under the cap. My question is, how is it that the Pats seem to always have so little wiggle room under the cap when a team like Denver seems to have cap room to keep all or most of their best players, including Elam, who is on par with Vinatieri, and still have money to look and add a T.O. or a Ricky Williams or Indy, who somehow found the cap space to keep all of their must-have players in 2005 and still came up with wiggle room to sign the star Eagles defensive lineman just before the start of the season. It's one thing to work a deal to stay under the cap like the Jets did to ink Ty Law last year with the huge salary not due to kick in until the next season, knowing they'll dump Law or rework the deal before 2006. But the deal Indy pulled to sign the Eagles defensive lineman, Corey Simon, I think you're talking about, last year, or teams like Denver, Miami, or Kansas City talking about clearing cap room for a guy like T.O., how is that possible?
That's an interesting question, because remember when I first came here, I asked you guys, I said, other than Brady, who's making the money?
Well, they have guys that make money, and then part of the problem is, with their philosophy, you have more mid-level guys making money. Don Davis re-signs. He's making $780,000 or whatever it is. That's almost $1 million. If you have 50 guys like that, now you're
only $450
on the cap,
though.
So you're saying
they have more guys like Matt Chatham making money.
If you look at the Colts, if you look at their starters and their backups, there's a huge discrepancy.
Right.
So you're saying the Patriots are more middle of the line.
They have more of a middle class.
It's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons.
But I just think that's two different ways to get to the cap. I mean, I agree that everything that Andy just said I think is true, but I don't think that necessarily explains why some teams have room. Now, first of all, before we applaud Denver's cap management, let's see what they signed T.O. to. What kind of contract?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm guessing that T.O.'s not going to get a big windfall here with this deal.
Okay.
He's going to sign for probably short money for him for 1 year, and probably the Broncos are going to look to get out of that deal, because I do think there's a good chance that you could get a very productive 2006 out of him, but would you want him beyond that?
No. And then Ricky Williams would be a trade.
And Ricky Williams would be a trade, and you'd probably have to do some sort of reworking. Now, I don't think the Patriots are up against the cap any more than most other teams. And right now, the Colts are going to be dealing with losing either Reggie Wayne or Edgerrin James.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like they've chosen to keep Wayne and let James go. So I don't think anybody has any cap secret that's a full.
And almost any team has a couple big deals that if they really want to sign somebody, they tweak.
Right,
they
and that's what the Patriots
Brady,
do.
They tweak a Peyton Manning.
Like house equity.
You just tweak the money and the numbers change, but you're still paying it out.
Right. Now, Andy's right. They do have the middle class where, you know, they have a bunch of their special teamers like Izzo and Davis that you mentioned, Matt Chatham, that have been around 5, 6, 7-plus years, you know, in the case of Davis going into year 11. They have more guys. I've read this somewhere. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but I have read it somewhere that they have more guys making $1 million or more than anybody in the league.
It's probably accurate.
Now,
that's their philosophy. I think if you ask
the
Bill
Colts,
Belichick,
the Colts may have more guys making $10 million or more than anybody in the league, but
to get to the same cap, you got to have guys making less at the end.
There's two different ways of doing it. Well, there's more than two different. But those are two. Those are two ways of doing it, and I think you get to the cap either way.
But, I mean, if you ask Bill Belichick,
I
think he would prefer to have 53 guys making $1.2 million or whatever
it
would
take
to get to the cap.
If he could divide that absolutely evenly.
Divide 90-whatever by 53, and that would be his number.
Yeah, him and Parcells, they don't want a team necessarily filled with superstars.
Right.
They want their kind of player.
I mean, they're smart enough to know you have to sign Tom Brady. You have to sign
you can't
Richard
win.
Seymour.
You can't win with 53 guys making $1.2
Let's also look at some, I mean, are they overpaying a Tyrone Poole, a guy who hasn't played the last 2 years? He's making $2 million a year or whatever the number
Corey
is.
Corey Dillon right now.
Well, see, it's hard because I'll pretend.
Now, I'm saying.
You divide it all out. He had a good year left. But, yeah, they have guys.
McGinnis has got an ungodly cap number right now that he's not going to play at.
But they'll just tweak it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they got some money and they go out and sign. I mean, they've always. Have we ever heard them really lose somebody because they didn't have the money to sign him?
No,
they chose not to.
Values.
A lawyer,
That would be the only one.
Yeah.
But even that, they put a value on him. If they thought he was worth $4.8 million,
that would be the only one that you could make an argument for because they didn't want to lose him.
You could also make the argument they wanted to lose him.
Well, but I don't think he would.
I just think that
he might now, Fred,
bluff.
But I don't think he would.
No. I think they were negotiating and he called their bluff because he didn't. I mean, they didn't think that he would want to be cut the week before the season.
Right. They tried to put the screws to him, and it didn't
he
work.
He called their bluff. But other than that,
it worked great.
You know, they wanted to sign Roosevelt Cole, and they signed him. They wanted to sign Rodney Harrison or whoever. They sign him. They find the money they need to find when they need it.
Teams can. That's why, you know, players always scoff at
now who
the
says
the
Patriots
don't have the money.
Can't sign T.O.?
That's right. You never know.
They could if they
Why
wanted.
Not T.O.?
Al,
vote no on TL.
His subject says, "Can you make a shoe smell?" I don't know what that means, but anyway,
I'll put my foot in it.
most of the time, the NFL gets things right, but this time there appears to have been a number of screw-ups and poor planning by the league, not by Detroit, but by the league. You guys were there. What say? Well, actually, we weren't there.
No.
But anyway, he says first.
No, Fred doesn't let us go.
Fred doesn't send us unless the Patriots are there. I don't know. It's just weird things.
First, I suppose it's great Brady got to toss the coin, but on the 40th anniversary year, why not instead choose Bart Starr and or Lenny Dawson to do the honors? They were the opposing QBs in the first game.
I agree with that.
And they were on hand due to the fact that they were also Super Bowl MVPs. Second, according to John Riggins on Sirius Radio, all the Super Bowl MVPs were seated by the league way up in Section 700, high in the stands and far from the field. No wonder Montana and Bradshaw found excuses to bow out. Looking forward to the draft and free agency. I liked last year's draft. Last year's free agency had its ups and downs, to say the least.
Word.
So
they also they showed Hasselbeck, Don, and it looked like he was in like a standing room only section.
He looks pretty far away too, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't appear to have good.
And yeah, they were way in the back there.
We've heard that before. Like,
but I mean,
there's only so many tickets to go around, and you end up,
you know what it's like to get
hey,
put
did
out.
You hear did you hear he blocked an extra point in that Super Bowl against Washington?
Yeah.
Don Hasselbeck.
That's how I whenever they show that, I cringe. Because his sons are now playing in the NFL in the Super Bowl.
That I was being a little sarcastic. That they must have mentioned that 5,500 times
every,
during the course
every,
of the week.
Every time they showed it, I cried because I was thinking, my God, I was sitting there watching that Super Bowl. How old am I? I'm almost dead.
You are closer to dead than you are to birth. I don't know if you noticed. You probably wouldn't see
I'm
it.
Not.
But did you see where I would have been sitting, probably with Tom? They showed one thing, and then they showed where the stands had those benches and everything. I was like, hey, that's way up where I would have been with Tom.
Oh, woe is Andy.
At least it would have been a normal climate, not like Jacksonville, where it was 42 degrees below zero.
That's all I'm saying.
What's that?
If you work for the team and you put all the effort in that me and Andy put in, you should be in the press box.
No, they have to save the spot for some Japanese guy who covers just
the
Super Bowl.
You know what? I do agree with that. That what Tom just said. Anybody covering the teams that are playing should automatically get a seat in the press box. I don't care if the Globe and the Herald send 15 guys each. If you're covering the team, you should get a spot.
That's
in the press
thing.
Box.
Why do they need to send 15 guys and we bust our butts all year?
No, the PR directors for each team should submit the list of the guys who have been covering the team all year.
And that's quote unquote supposedly how it's done here.
Well, it isn't because
specifically Gillette Stadium when they is a huge game. Supposedly. Precedence is given to people that cover the team on a regular basis, but that's very much in quotes.
Okay. Let's see. Sean McLaughlin, thank God it's the off season. Could not take any more bus talk and cower power. Just, he calls him coward, though. Just starting to watch SportsCenter and
NFL
Network
again. Super Bowl
again.
Champ now.
Some quick thoughts and some questions. One, boo on the Steeler fans. But, of course, they have no class in not shaking Tom Brady's hands at the coin flip. It was not his fault that his idol wanted.
How they took it.
I think that's hilarious.
I saw him BSing with Matt Hasselbeck and ignoring them.
I saw him could not possibly have gotten further away from the Pittsburgh guys.
Hey, listen. The Steeler fans booing Tom Brady, that's why
that's
sports
a sign
is
of respect.
Great. That's why sports
hey,
is great.
Fred,
sign
that's
of respect.
Exactly right.
That's a sign of respect.
That's the ultimate.
And I thought he handled
ultimate,
it well.
Ultimate, yeah.
And started laughing.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of like
Mariano
Rivera.
Do it at the All-Star game
Rivera.
In baseball. Yeah,
that's what I was
going to
say. It's exactly like Mariano. It's the ultimate sign of respect.
Tipped his cap.
It was not his fault that his idol wanted $1 zillion to be there. Okay, $100,000. Granted, Tom could have bowed out to say no if he did not want to do it, but I think the NFL could have asked Bart Starr if Montana or Bradshaw could not have been there.
Number 42, Mariano Rivera.
That was great.
Maybe it was, though, that they wanted to get a multiple MVP winner, and Montana didn't do it, so they had Brady do it.
What about Bart Starr?
Yeah, I don't know.
Terry Bradshaw and all the other guys.
Bradshaw wasn't there either.
All the other guys that won multiple MVPs. I mean, it doesn't make
any
sense.
It just doesn't feel right.
Right.
It's one of those things where
you... It was weird. It was uncomfortable.
Like, somebody brings it up in a meeting, you would have thought everybody else would have said, I don't think that's
I'd like to hear what they have to say.
And I would have thought Brady... We give him supposedly so much credit for, being very selective in what he does. Right. I would have thought even he would have said, well, there's going
to
be the other 30 guys there.
He may have said that.
Shouldn't they do it?
But I wouldn't have turned it down. I think it's a big-time honor.
Like getting invited to the White House.
I certainly wouldn't have turned it down. I might have said, well, geez, guys, why me? But I certainly wouldn't have turned it down.
Two, speaking of Brady, if this so-called hernia surgery is needed, then why is he golfing at Pebble Beach this weekend since he bowed out of the Peyton Manning-Mike Vick Classic? Oh, sorry, the Pro Bowl.
He is playing this week?
You can do whatever you want with a hernia.
No, I know, but he's definitely playing.
He played in a tournament.
We can keep track of for update.
He played in a tournament couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan Charity Classic.
Playing golf is
Pebble Beach
is
the one
different.
He's done a number of times.
Oh, I didn't know he was playing. I'm not sure that that's accurate.
I
hasn't happened yet? In other words, thing?
No. That's
okay.
Coming up, I believe.
It's the big one. I'm not going to say for sure because
Pebble Beach
I don't know, but
is like the biggest pro-am.
I'm under the impression that he's having surgery very, very soon. I would not be surprised if he's not playing it anymore.
Three, can you guys, if you can enlighten the listeners on how the Hall of Fame process works, and is there anyone that represents the Boston market?
You're not going to want to know the answer to that one.
It's just bogus.
It's just him?
Ron Borges is the boss.
The only one?
I think so.
And by the way, he takes that extremely seriously.
Well, he should.
The Hall of Fame means an awful lot to Ron Borges, if you've ever talked to him.
He should take it seriously. You know, it means a lot to
but
the
I know that the Patriots fans are going to be like, oh, God, like none of our guys are never – which is probably the opposite well, because he loves the players.
He's a players guy, right.
He's been fighting.
He'll never
Ron
vote for Bill Belichick.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Come on now.
But anyway, there's, I think, 39 people who vote on that.
And they get in a room. They submit things. They whittle it down to a certain number, 15 or whatever.
Finalists.
And then they get in a room and they pick guys.
Four.
Up to six per year, maybe, I think they can have.
I don't know if there's any limit.
Yeah,
there's a limit.
I think it's up to six
a year.
Yeah, I think it's six. I think I made a mistake a month ago in criticizing Mike Smith in what was wrong with his hatred to the Pats. I was wrong. But the guy that is trying to take Ron Borges' place as the most hated Pats beat man is Nick Cafardo. Nick, I love the book, but every radio show I hear is that how you think the Pats are done, free agency has caught up with them. Nick, what happened to you? Five, finally, good
but wait,
job.
Isn't Nick just giving his opinion? Can't he do that in the United States of America?
Plus, he's not a beat guy.
No.
Yeah, you can in the United States of America,
not
Nation.
In New England. No.
See, I don't see why Nick Cafardo is like a turncoat because he's saying he believes that the Patriots run.
Got an agenda.
All right.
Five.
I told you, no.
Finally.
Red doesn't.
Next time I'll lend you some experience, Tom. I'll save you the trouble. No.
Okay.
All right.
See, now Fred will get mad.
See, you guys try to be so objective, you go the other way. Finally, good job by the coach on the pregame, but too bad ESPN ABC would rather have loud, obnoxious people that wear goofy ties and love to hear themselves talk rather than true analysis.
So ridiculous.
Thanks, guys. Good job breaking down the Super Bowl.
They had enough of Belichick. They didn't need any more of him. They had him breaking down film, which he is good at. I like that segment.
That was well done.
Everything else I could have done without.
Yeah. He had his you know, clearly thought-up, planned joke of, I couldn't get over the dark side.
I really liked when he talked about going against the Bills and Thurman Thomas and going against the Rams with Marshall.
Right.
I thought the Rams was really good.
Yeah, really good.
Good.
Really, really good.
Analysis.
I really enjoyed that. That was what he does on Fridays with us in the room, obviously on a much more detailed basis when we're in on Fridays. The rest of it was like a Wednesday press conference I have to fight myself to stay
is
away.
Is anyone else sitting there, though, thinking, how did the Rams score all those points? That seems kind of easy. It does
seem
kind of
basic.
In the backfield, they run. When he's not behind the quarterback, they throw. You right. think, geez, that's – it just. I mean, I know it's not that simple, but the way he made it sound,
they
it was
score
like,
1,000 points in 2 years. No one else picked up on this?
Neil writes in, a poor Super Bowl brings to an end that playoff season that was marred by poor officiating, the worst I can ever recall. It's easy to blame officials for losses and to ignore teams' poor performance on the field, but the officiating did have a major effect on the games.
Indeed.
Seattle, just like New England in Denver, lost a game they could have and should have won. Were the poor calls the sole reason both teams lost? No, but they were major contributors. Paul Perillo, thanks again for being you, your Patriots.com column on Monday. I thought the whole world missed what I consider to be a key play. Can anyone tell me why Darryl Jackson's catch down the sideline was not reviewed by the officials? But even more than that, can anyone tell me why ABC did not take a closer look and why the so-called expert analysts at halftime failed to mention this play and its impact on the game?
I don't know.
It was clearly out of bounds.
I should. But that was an excellent commentary, Paul. I thought it was very good.
What are we talking about?
It's something he did on Monday when I was here.
You and I were talking about on Monday.
Funny, I heard people
but
ripping
if he was certain people, you'll understand.
If that guy wants to know why the announcers didn't notice anything, I said during the interception, I turned and I said, listen, Rocky Bernard just pulled a hamstring, and that's a big injury. The announcers didn't notice that until 45 minutes later. They didn't notice Rocky Bernard wasn't in the game. I mean, I just don't understand.
Three starters from Seattle left the game at one point.
Yeah.
On defense.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even mentioned.
When you have John Madden doing a game, what do you expect?
Right.
He was worried about his next Ace Hardware commercial.
And the thing is,
plus he's old.
He's so desired that now he's going to go to NBC and do,
He just, listen, he was kind of folksy and catchy with his little phrases when he first came in.
He was thinking all that covered up was the fact that he never offered any analysis.
Right. Right. He never broke down any. This is a guy who was one of the best coaches ever. Did you ever see his record all time?
Yeah.
His winning percentage? He's like 100-something in 32. I mean, his record is unbelievable.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a good commentator. Bill Belichick's got a pretty good
record. He doesn't give you any of that.
Right.
He doesn't give you any of his insight. He doesn't give you anything. It's almost like listening to some former players that...
I think he used to do that, because he gives you all of that stuff.
I think he used to do that kind of thing a little bit, though. When I was younger, I remember him offering some stuff, and now it seems like they turned him into the buffoon they want him to be.
Hey, how do you ragu?
I think even them, it was more like, see, that guy's got mud all over
him. I was going to say, were you just younger and were not looking for as much?
And he's blowing snot bubbles.
He makes that points, like, why didn't he kick the field goal?
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one thing in the game that I said, wow, John Madden actually threw some analysis out there.
I think he used to bring a little bit more of that to the table before he started the boom and the bang and all that.
That's the thing I think gets
lost.
When you see him in person, he's old.
Yeah,
he
wears a lot of makeup.
Guy. He looks a lot younger on TV than he does in person.
I think these guys find there's a way, like Chris Berman, you can sit there and you can be Jaws and tell us stuff that we want to hear, or you can be Chris Berman and have $100 million in the bank.
Brady's feeling like Big Pappy.
I'll be the idiot.
Right, exactly. There you go.
You play that role well.
Currently, criticize Madden because people just keep giving him $5 million contracts.
It's not his fault for continuing to do it, but I just don't understand
why.
Quite
the contrary, he's being very smart.
Yeah, I don't understand why people haven't necessarily caught up to his act. That he doesn't do, he's not good at what he does.
We might think we're good analysts, and we're sitting in a freaking concrete.
Right. Well, I don't think I'm a good professional analyst to be on an NFL game and breaking down film the way a coach or an ex-player should be doing it.
And the other thing
Jaworski.
Is, I think there's some risk involved for networks because when they try stuff, they've screwed a lot of stuff up, and people really go over the top criticizing.
You go with what works.
The safe guy who's been doing it for 25 years.
It gets back to the old thing. That why do they do things the way they do? Because they have, it's like, what news is the highest ranked? Whichever one follows the highest ranked 10 o'clock show.
Right.
Like, you would think at some point that America would figure out that I have a remote control in my hand and I can go to the one I actually want.
Yeah, but most people have Comcast cable and there's a long delay when you change channel, so you just stay with the one you're on.
I have to call them up to do it for me.
But, so what do you guys think of Tony Kornheiser?
I think that could be good. Whoever's doing finance,
Monday Night mentioned that to me today. I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, Tirico Theismann Kornheiser is the Monday Sunday
Theismann
Night Football.
And Kornheiser. I think that's excellent. Well, I like Tirico and I like Kornheiser.
The one good thing is that Paul McGuire's gone.
Right, and Mike Patrick.
And Mike Patrick.
Yeah, but he'll be back. I mean,
where?
He'll pop up somewhere.
Oh, he'll always have work, Mike Patrick. I don't know about McGuire.
Mike Patrick does everything. Does football, college football, college
basketball. He'll have work.
Mike Patrick will always be able to make love to J.J. Redick.
Right. If you want to know what white guy on Duke is good, just listen to Mike Patrick. He'll tell you.
An overwhelming pro thumbs up on Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Tony Kornheiser fan,
actually,
but that's a major.
He actually was the finalist when they hired Dennis Miller. He was going to do it.
Well, that was a good move.
Yeah.
You probably liked that. He kind of tailored to the West Wing crowd.
He would have been good, but he couldn't be himself.
I don't see how – I never could add that up, how that was ever going to be good.
Yeah.
It's like the Rush Limbaugh thing. I don't care about the way he exited. I just didn't really know why he was on the show.
Right.
Neil continues, currently I don't believe, and I don't ever want to believe, the NFL is anything other than an open league with no preferential treatment to any team. But when things like this happen, it certainly makes people think. The rule that in the last 2 minutes of a half, only replay officials can review a call is totally ridiculous. The Jackson play encapsulates all that is wrong with that rule. Holmgren was clearly frustrated, used a timeout, and still failed to get a replay. Replay is supposed to make sure mistakes are minimized. Instead of being in the lead, the Seahawks were behind at the half.
That's another rule, by the way, I think is wrong. You should be able to call for a replay anytime you want.
Well, it's college.
Especially in a game like this where there's so much squares money on the line.
In 2 years of college football, I've only disagreed with one call and later found out I didn't understand the rule correctly and I was actually wrong. So in 2 years, there hasn't been one replay that I've disagreed with in college football.
Now, all they have is a freaking TiVo.
Right. They just keep rewinding it and they have Andy up there wearing a hat and sneakers.
Thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah. No catch. No catch.
I think it's time for the replay official upstairs or a team of them, if necessary, to be in total command of replay instead of the referee, just as it is in some college games. Coaches should be allowed to challenge a play at any time in the game. I realize some will be accused of buying time at the end of the half, but that is preferable to this ridiculous situation we have just witnessed. It makes no sense to me to have two challenges. What happens if a huge mistake is made after two challenges have been made? Does that somehow validate the potential mistake? Embrace replay or do away with it entirely. Enough of this dipping the toe in the water approach.
I agree.
Mike Holmgren is taking a lot of heat for his comments on playing the officials as well as the Steelers. My view on this is that he should have the right to say so. He is not saying the bad calls cost him the game. Equally, I did not hear him say his team played perfect football. He's merely expressing an opinion, and as a head coach in the NFL, he has the credibility and platform to make the comment. We are force-fed by an incompetent array of so-called journalists and reporters who would have us believe he should be quiet. The league may well fine him, but you know what it does. It does not change the essence of the comment. Let's be honest, the officiating was a factor in their loss.
So is his bad coaching. So as soon as he admits that, then
wouldn't
we'll all
life be wonderful if we all ignored wrongdoing and did nothing to stop it? But that is what the NFL requires of its members. Sounds like a blueprint for government. Opening game next season will be Denver at Pittsburgh. September sounds a long way away.
I agree with all that, though, about Holmgren. I think he has the right to say that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the only thing I don't like is, I don't like from him or fans or anybody the implication that it's dirty, that the game was fixed.
No.
Right. The game is not.
They made mistakes,
yeah, can we all
and
agree?
It affected the game.
Can we all agree?
I don't want to pretend, because now you have people, well, three guys from Pittsburgh were on the officiating crew, or they lived in Pennsylvania once.
This game was fixed. The Colts game was fixed. So let me get this straight. In the span of two rounds of playoffs, you had Pittsburgh being discriminated against by the league and then being favored by the league.
Right.
I mean, is that really realistic to think that...
No, the Colts game was fixed because Vanderjack missed that kick on purpose.
No, they're saying that it was fixed for the Colts with the calls.
I know.
Hey, how about they were showing the best Monday night, you know, moments I saw they had the other night, and they showed the comeback
Fred didn't
by
like
the,
that.
But they showed the comeback by the Colts, and that no-good Vanderjack, he missed that field goal in overtime, then they had that leaping call, remember? On and then he kicked it again and hit the crossbar and then went in. What a choker he is.
He is a choker. I've seen him miss a lot. Well, back in Miami in a playoff game, he missed an overtime kick, too. He's a big-time choker.
That's why you're in trouble if you're the Colts and your quarterback and your kicker, guys that are key in the postseason, are chokers.
Oh. He missed a chip shot in the first game of the season here at Gillette Stadium. And, that could have tied the game and sent it in overtime. So it wasn't like a 40-yard kick? It wasn't even that long.
It was in the 40s. It wasn't necessarily a chip shot, right. But it was definitely
It would have been a chip shot if Peyton Manning had been doing his job and seen Willie McGinnis coming.
That's according to Vanderjack.
Right.
Phil from Austin, how about a little team debate this afternoon? Half full, half empty, with a decent draft plus a few minor free agent signings, the Patriots can win the Super Bowl next year.
Yes.
Versus, the Patriots need a significant upgrade in youth and talent in order to be able to win another Super Bowl. We'll do that some other time, that type of debate. I'm sure we're going to have to
Is there a debate? I think we all believe that the Patriots are right there.
Yeah, I don't think they need significant
changes. The
whole
world
changes.
Does, basically.
I'm not saying
except
the Patriots.
Pardo, apparently.
I don't think the Patriots are without any problems. I think they have some holes to fill. I think they do need to get some youth, especially at linebacker, and add just to the depth in the defensive backfield and find some wide receivers.
They're far from rebuilding.
We just named like six out of the nine positions. But, hey, they're loaded, baby. They're loaded.
They'll be fine. Who's better than they are?
There's a lot of teams just as good. I'll say
Denver Broncos.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't think...
No, we can't assess...
Belichick.
We cannot assess 2006 because we don't know who's going to be good
right.
and who isn't. The Tennessee Titans could be good next
year.
Also
we don't know who's going
to
be on what team. I agree
right.
with Tom. You can't assess 2006 until free agency in the draft.
The Titans have a Pro Bowl
quarterback. The Patriots will be right there, but I'm just saying. We were like, well, they're right there, and then we just named off like nine positions.
No, but I said I think they need to get a little bit younger at linebacker, but certainly you're going to go into the season with the four stars that you just had, and it's the best group in football, in my mind, with Vrabel, McGinnis, Colvin,
my player on the decline for 2006.
Willie Mack.
Yes. In our paper.
Are we starting to see some chinks in Larry Izzo's armor, too?
He has armor?
Why? Because he got biatch slapped by McGinnis.
Big bully picked on him.
Starting to make a little slipping up in special teams.
Ray Ventrone's coming. Don't worry,
Fred. When did he slip up in special teams?
Yankees suck!
I had to delete that SPFW that asked if he was going to be starting.
Year. Don Davis makes mistakes on special teams. Just because they are specialists doesn't mean they're perfect.
Okay.
Can I bring up something that was in an earlier email that we kind of skipped past? Richard Seymour was kind of referenced in terms of money, signing players. He did an interview with Michael Felger on ESPN Radio in Boston, which I thought was very interesting. And obviously they spoke about his contract, and Michael Felger asked him if he had to be the highest-paid defensive lineman in football, if that's what he was looking for. And Seymour said, I just want to be paid equivalent to my level of play. And Michael Felger cut in and said, well, to be fair, there's a strong argument that you're the best defensive lineman in football. And Richard Seymour says, it is what it is. To me, that's a little telling.
He's going to want.
He wants to be paid like the best defensive lineman in football. You're talking about a lot of money.
A lot of money.
People are talking about, how come the Patriots can't afford to sign their own. That's big money.
But he also expressed optimism was the word he used. Optimistic that he would be staying in New England.
And let's be honest, a guy who's that good at defense and fullback deserves the money.
That's true. A two-way player,
according to Fred, the best fullback in the NFL.
Did I ever say that?
Yes.
Me and you had an argument once.
Forget your own arguments because you contradict yourself so often. You're actually arguing with yourself.
Name one contradiction I've ever made.
We'll be back later for the Andy Hart, Fred Kirsch argument hour.
Let's hear it.
How about the pass interference discussion to start the show?
I don't think it was pass
interference. If he extends his arm, whether he creates separation or not, you got to call it.
No.
Asani Samuel extended his. I'd have to look at the play and really analyze it.
It was Jackie Gleason.
Asani Samuel did not extend arm. No,
yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
At least Jason, for bringing some maturity to this argument. But one more thing on the Seymour contract. He also had Ron Borges on the same show talking, and he clearly has spent a lot of time greasing Richard Seymour, trying to work that relationship as much as possible. And he said one time, how about a hometown discount here in New England? And he said, Seymour looked at him and smirked and said, I'm from South Carolina. What's a hometown discount?
Let's see. Jason says, what a dud
like
game.
Seymour.
It could have been one of the better ones, but considering how the Zebras played a large part in it, really, in my mind, the worst. And the two clubs, they really have nothing to hang their hats on for great performances. The refs, one look at all the poor calls, some made and some not, and it was putrid. But why wasn't it even close to a 50-50 split? That, to me, makes it smell even worse.
Okay.
It's not fixed.
It's not fixed. Your email's wrong, because the thing that made it not a good game was the fact that both teams sucked.
Right.
The officials
sucked. One can look at the situation.
Officials suck every week, and they're still good games.
One can look at the situations and what may have happened if the calls were not made, but that negates looking at the larger picture, the momentum shifts, the ebbs and flows of the game, as well as what the calls did to the team's psyche. All I know is that the Steelers looked shaky at the start, the Hawks better, and somehow that completely changed. In a game filled of emotion, with teams playing close, small tilts can have a large effect. To think these large tilts did is burying one's hand in the sand. I think didn't.
And I agree, and if that Jeremy Stevens fumble was called a fumble and Pittsburgh returned it for a touchdown, I think the game might have been over. That was a very large swing in momentum right there.
I hope the NFL looks at what happened and does something.
But
that
do
is
what?
Needed.
That's what I want. Somebody needs to tell me how they fix
it. They may have a larger problem than the CBA. What point is it to care about any football team when the refs can take a game away at the drop of a few flags?
But refs stink at all levels. How do they fix it? You need to tell me how you fix it.
I've given you my opinion. Like I said, I don't know the semantics of this, but if they did have full
full-time officials. I think having younger guys like us who can actually move and maybe see a play and have good eyesight.
But you put yourself, well, you put yourself in that category.
But I did hear one argument against that kind of makes sense. Against
a lot of those guys are 70 years old.
No, but I heard one argument against having full-timers. The guys that are in there now all pretty much have really well-to-do jobs.
Yes, yeah. Lawyers and superintendents.
And if you start saying, well, you have to be full-time, you might get a lesser quality of person.
Not if you pay them as a well-paid full-time NFL.
I just think, how much are you going to pay them?
To be a little younger.
I don't know, 100, 150 grand a year?
These guys are making more than that in their regular lives.
I just think it would be a pretty attractive career.
The guy who refereed the game the other day, Bill Levy, Levy, whatever his name is a retired firefighter.
Right.
150 grand more than he was making as a firefighter.
That's a lot of money, Fred. I think if you paid those guys something like that, you'd get qualified candidates, people willing.
I think there's a lot of school teachers and principals and what. I mean, now, sure, you have your share of insurance guys and attorneys. I think Ed Hockley is an attorney.
There was a judge once.
But I think that's the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, well, Paul made a good point on the show once when he said, like, baseball.
Once? I did?
I caught that.
But he said baseball got lucky because the one year they went on the strike, the Major League Baseball came in and swept away all the garbage and said, good, get
but
out.
What they need to do maybe is institute it. And look, I'm not really a huge they need to be full-time guy, but if you wanted to institute that system, you could kind of do it slowly and kind of weed this current crop out. You wouldn't necessarily have to just get rid of this crew if they didn't want to be full-time, but develop some young officials, pay them as full-time guys so that, you know, maybe send them over to Europe and get them the experience that way, but make them full-time guys, have them constantly watching the film and going with Mike Pereira and the other guys that are in charge of monitoring and assigning these games, and then maybe two years of that, you know, you start to weed them in, and then you do have a younger crew.
But really, isn't it, though, I mean, let's face it, you know, and I read somewhere else, this game is just too fast, it's too violent for any human to always be right.
Right, no, you're right.
So you're really, you're human, you make mistakes.
Right, so really, isn't it, it's not the guys, it's the system for getting the call right. These same guys, if you put them in a system for getting the call right, using replay correctly, will be good.
I think that's one of the main things. They need to use they're not using replay correctly, and that is a major problem right now, I think.
I think that's a big part of the problem. But I also think the other thing that gets lost is somehow when, you know, look, Pittsburgh was on the verge of putting the game away in my mind when Roethlisberger threw a god-awful interception in the end zone, right? Guy was wide open, Cedric Wilson wide open in the end zone. Any high school quarterback can make that throw, and he short-armed it and underthrew it, and it got picked off. That's a mistake, a physical mistake made by a player. Well, when a mistake gets made by an official, somehow we say, these guys are impacting the outcome of the games. Well, there's a human element involved in sports.
Right.
That's part of the game. That's part of the game. I hate officials more than anybody,
believe me. But you never want the officials
of
to have...
Of course you don't want to.
You can't change it. It's but part you, of that. Unless you just don't have officials and we go by players
but
make
Andy,
their own calls.
Andy, wouldn't you at least have more respect if the head of the officials came out and said,
yes,
listen, we had a bad day.
Yes.
That's it. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Yes.
Instead, he says, no, they were all right. Yeah. That's the stuff that really
bothers I agree.
I told you, the only time you ever see mistakes admitted is when the team that got the mistakes made against them ends up winning anyway.
But, Paul, the system you just described, you know, slowly get them in there, young guys, have them work in Europe. That's what baseball does, right? They work in the minor leagues.
They work in the minor leagues. See, they don't have that luxury in
football. But baseball still has problems because they're human beings.
Absolutely.
They rip that guy from here to tomorrow with the whole foul ball in the World Series.
Right. And
you're still going to have those no matter what you do.
They don't have replay in that sport, though, and that's part of it.
Roboticized?
But, well, it's not – the game's not –
They don't have replay to correct those. Yes.
The only games that are fixed are Duke basketball games. That's it.
BC.
Boston College also.
Yeah. Scott McCandless, Super Bowl extra lousy.
Phoenix Coyotes.
some thoughts on Sunday night's debacle. One, the Steelers played very poorly, except for three nice plays I can think of, the Randall L. Ward TD toss, the Willie Parker run, and the amazing shoestring catch Ward made
in the fourth quarter
for a drive-sustaining, clock-eating first down. Ward's amazing, but still, it was very hard to find an MVP in this game. Two, I thought the Steelers coaches did a poor job of scheming to protect the build-up and build up Roethlisberger's confidence.
I
remember
agree.
When Bledsoe went in for an injured Tom Brady in 2001, And the first thing they called was a pass. It seemed to me that Pittsburgh should have done the same thing to get Ben loose and relaxed. Instead, the Steelers' offense looked awful in the first half, and I could just see Al Davis sitting at home watching the game screaming, "The heck with Wisenhunt. Get me Martz on the phone. He's available, right?" And three, I thought Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb did a bad job of clock management in last year's Super Bowl, but Holmgren and Hasselbeck sure outdid them. At the end of the half and in the fourth quarter, the Seahawks' offense was just embarrassing. I agree.
I agree with all of that. I think that if I was Collar, I would have come out throwing again. You know, you saw that. That's what they did with Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
You know, they had him come out, right throw away, the ball, get comfortable, and then worry about running the ball.
And you said it looked like he short-armed that throw. I think that's the one thing that I've noticed with him, and I like watching him, that I feel like he aims the ball sometimes and is afraid
like
to let it go.
Do you ever notice it's almost like a double clutch?
Because I think he's afraid to let it go. There's a little bit of fear and hesitation.
Was it like Derek Lowe? Four, while I won't say the officials cost Seattle the game.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
There was a sinker?
While I won't say the officials...
It was a heavy fastball?
Drunk?
Number four.
It could be a lot of things. Well,
based on those photos, yeah, he may have been drunk.
While I won't say the officials cost Seattle the game, I will say that the officiating was horrendous. In my opinion, the cumulative effect of the awful officiating this season, and especially in the playoffs, such as the Patriots-Broncos game, Colts-Steelers, and Seahawks-Steelers, is that the NFL is at risk of losing credibility with a lot of fans. Not credibility that there's some kind of conspiracy, that's not what I mean, just losing confidence in the ability of the refs to manage and not interfere with the game. It's a big problem that I hope the NFL addresses this offseason. I still can't get over how bad that holding call was that took away the Seattle first down at the Pittsburgh 1 yard line, or the low blow call on Hasselbeck after the INT. Just awful, awful calls. Five, and finally, ultimately, I congratulate the Steelers, but I also, in a way, feel bad for their fans. The Super Bowl win isn't exactly tainted, but it sure wasn't the way they wanted to win. It sure wasn't the way the Steelers played in that seven-game winning streak that got them there. A couple of the football websites, I think it was SI.com and perhaps ProFootballWeekly.com, had polls asking if this was the worst Super Bowl ever, and it's sad for Steelers fans that their championship is thought of that way.
Doesn't matter. Champions of the world.
How do you feel about the Patriots 2001 title?
It doesn't matter.
Is it tainted in any way, Fred, to you?
It was a great game.
No,
but do you feel it's tainted,
Fred,
in any way?
Why?
Because of the Tuck rule and all that stuff.
Oh, Raiders fans will.
But, no, but do you feel it's tainted as a Patriots
fan? Hell no.
We're talking about the Steelers fans.
Right.
They're not feeling like it's tainted.
One of the worst Super Bowls was the Steelers and Vikings, 16-6.
Yeah.
Does anybody care? No, because they won four Super Bowls. And no, listen, you're champions of the world. It doesn't matter how you got there.
Yeah, the other thing I would say is I don't think the NFL is running the risk of losing credibility. I think that the only difference I would say between this year and any other year is maybe the Super Bowl had more egregious errors made in it, but officiating in this league is not very good,
right,
and it hasn't been very good for a long time.
But and then
and I don't
the
think there's any difference this year.
To,
like they said, it culminated a bad year of officiating. I disagree. I think every year is bad.
The example he points to is something we haven't even agreed on in this room, and the holding penalty. So that just points to the fact that it's not so black and white that you say it was an awful call.
Right.
We have differing opinions in this room.
Right. You're right.
Maybe you guys would have gotten the call right, but what you think is right, some other guy won't think it's right.
The only problem I have is the Hasselbeck call. To me, that says...
That's just flat-out wrong.
To me, that says you're looking for stuff.
Right. That was a flat-out wrong call.
That, you're looking to call stuff.
Because that's an obscure
problem.
Call to begin with.
Right.
Brian from Brookline, I totally disagree. This is about the Super Bowl music. That you need rap or hip hop to make things upbeat. It's only upbeat if you care for the music. Otherwise, it's boring and depressing, which is obviously how Andy feels about the Rolling Stones and Paul McCartney. I personally rather hear people actually playing instruments and sing as opposed to a lot of lip syncing. So,
well, I mean, can we go on to the assumption that people are actually performing?
Okay.
I just don't.
You
know,
I don't know why we have to
Rolling
make
Rolling Stones ever again.
I just
that's
see,
my only.
Do you know
problem.
What I'm saying? I mean, I don't understand why we have to go from playing instruments and performing to actually trying to perpetrate a fraud.
Plus, if we're going to go by that, I also thought Mick Jagger sounded awful. I've heard his songs on the radio, and he didn't sound like he sounds on the radio.
They sounded bad.
He's 90 years old.
Yeah, Andy, he's 85 years old. What
right. So that just proves my point. He shouldn't be out there.
I agree. Jay writes in, a few stupid points and questions. One, what kind of monitor is the ref looking at when the play is being reviewed? I was watching the game on a 42-inch HD TV, and I never saw the ball hit the goal line. Shouldn't reviews be handled upstairs in a booth with an official looking at a big high-def plasma monitor? When I see them approach that stupid hood, I'm imagining the ref is peering through a periscope at a 13-inch black and white Philco TV.
Well, I don't know what's in there.
That is embarrassing, though, looking at the referee in 2006 with a hood over him, looking into a screen. Give me a break.
I don't understand when Roethlisberger hit the goal line and has the ball knocked loose and back half a yard, it's a touchdown. But in the Tampa Bay-Washington game, the receiver controlled the ball in the end zone but needed to maintain control through the tackle. What's the difference? Both players are being tackled with possession of the ball.
No. I was going to say, Well, first of all, I think the Tampa Bay one was a touchdown. But the difference is Roethlisberger had possession of the ball.
Right. He had already established
the guy is catching
possession.
The ball.
Right. He's saying that the ball
and the ball never got knocked loose anyway.
I don't think it got knocked loose. I don't think it did either.
He got knocked back.
But then again,
but
I didn't have
loose.
A 42-inch HDTV.
No, I had a 58-inch HDTV.
Oh!
And I saw it hit the goal line.
Gary's taking the show off, so I'm just going to do my own drop-ins.
Let's see. Three, isn't it time for the league to follow Belichick's suggestion and add goal line cameras? Yes, the answer is yes to that.
I think that's going to matter very little.
And another thing.
What about the fact, just a question here, I don't know where the camera is going to go, but an official stands on the goal line. So aren't you going to get a picture of the back of the official's jersey?
That's part of the reason why I think it matters little.
Where's the camera going to go? Unless it goes on his visor or something?
I don't know.
Oh, remember when they had helmet cam in the World Cup?
Maybe it can be built into the pylon because he stands behind the pylon.
What happens if the pylon gets knocked over?
Well, then you're S out of luck.
What happens if Chad Johnson
almost got him, Tom.
Picks it up and swings?
And another thing, ESPN is reporting that the official who called the pass interference play against the Seattle is from Pittsburgh. I'm sure that didn't influence his call, but why does the NFL even allow the appearance of a conflict to exist? Pick another official from one of the other 50 states.
Because they picked him based on his scoring throughout the year on their grading.
Any
and Paul, what I wanted to bring up earlier is we were both right. The official changes mid playoffs.
Right.
Early in the playoffs, it's teams.
Then
late in playoffs, it's all stars.
But
that's dumb too. Why are you changing?
Saw that.
Give me what you think is best.
Because
but
you know why
throughout.
I noticed that guy Chad Brown, who I remember the guy's name because
he's
you
a
know,
linebacker
obviously
for, the
for that he was the umpire who got hit by Brady's pass in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
He was with a whole different cast of characters than he was earlier in the year when we had Chad Brown as the umpire in a regular season game.
But the thing that he's from Pittsburgh, I'm from New York, and I hate the Giants. So what if I was a referee?
Oh, but if you're from Pittsburgh, you love
Paul's from New England. He
everybody
the
from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers. Everybody.
Everybody.
I bet you I can find some Cowboy fans in Pittsburgh.
They just moved here then. If you lived in Pittsburgh, you love the Steelers. You know what? And I want
to
say this right out here.
To any
I got
to
hand it to the
listen,
Steelers fans. They're obnoxious, and they're loud, and they're not realistic, but they stick with their team. You know, even in the middle of the season when they were on a three-game losing streak, they got mad, but they never stopped paying attention. They're great fans.
Why are they not realistic?
I was going to say, if you take out if you just say they're not realistic, you could be comparing them to Patriot fans.
No, they're not realistic, and you know they always think their team's going to win, no matter what.
So why is
it's called being a fan?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They're
what's
great
unrealistic
fans.
About that?
They're great fans.
But you said they're unrealistic.
Paul, you don't like it when people aren't realistic.
I don't like it when people just look at the facts and they say, yeah, but my team's better.
That's what I'm saying. That's how they are. That's
well,
how Steelers
that's
fans
how
are.
That's how every team's fans are.
Though. No.
That's how Patriots fans are. That's how you are.
And Bill, we trust.
Steelers fans, I'm a good fan.
Patriots are going to win. Why? Because.
Steelers fans are great fans. They love their team through thick and thin. And, so even though they're obnoxious, they're good fans.
Okay.
Phil from
Describe New England.
No, I think the Patriots.
No, I don't think you should because I don't think they're
no,
good.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think,
the I think
there
are
some fans like that, but they
I
don't.
Think they're all like that.
They go. They don't. They lead. You spend half the season saying they don't make enough noise at the game.
They don't make. I mean, that's a whole different.
That's
argument.
Part of it.
But that's a different argument. I'm talking about the mindset. Patriots fans, since this run of excellence that the Patriots have been on, have not ever gone into a game thinking they weren't going to win eight touchdowns.
Okay, what happens if they have a few seasons where they don't get into the playoffs? You know this how this
absolutely.
Works. But that's not how it works in
see,
Pittsburgh.
But you think that's being
a
bad fan.
No, haven't they made it 10 out of 14 years or something? I mean, they haven't had a stretch of losing.
See, I think that's being a good fan. I think that's being smart. You don't just accept a bad product. And,
so
and
you just
go,
just stop
like
watching?
New York, and Tom's favorite team, the New York Giants. Tom hates the Giants. How smart were the New York Giants fans of the Meadowlands in the 70s and early 80s just continuing to sell that place out when they had no sniff of ever getting good?
So what do you
do? Is that a good fan?
What do you do?
I don't think that's a good
fan.
I think that's
dumb.
Attention?
Well,
yes, you wait for them to make a move and get good.
Oh, yeah.
Don't accept mediocrity
they're
or
do
worse.
Well without any fan support.
Fred, do something. improve.
Yeah, but I think
earn my support.
I think you're talking about two different things. Now, say you're
well,
a
he's saying it's a good fan
you're
if you just go out there blindly and
you're
just
a Redskins
win.
Fan, right? And Daniel Snyder's made bad moves, but are you still supporting him because he's trying to win?
I was going to say he's trying to win. I don't think he's trying to lose.
No,
that's what I'm saying. That's up to the individual.
I mean, do you think he's trying to win, doing the right thing?
No, but I'm
saying he's making good moves.
I'm saying that's different from the Cardinals. Who aren't trying to do
sure,
anything.
Sure, that's that's different examples of the same thing that I'm talking about.
But
though.
Would you, if you were
I
a
wouldn't
Redskins
just blindly
fan.
Sit there and continue to pump my money for season tickets if I didn't think the team was worth it.
But as a Redskins fan, would you say, boy, this Snyder's made some stupid moves, but at least he's trying to win. At least he's doing everything in
no,
his
I
power.
Wouldn't say that if I didn't think what he was doing was right.
Wow. You're tough.
He is tough.
You're tough.
Paul has a unique view on a lot of this.
I know. I don't even know if he likes sports. I just think he has a good memory.
I love sports beyond
Northeastern's belief. One and what? Are you going to games? Are you following
them? No. Wow. Did I go to the bean pot the other night? No. They're 1-19. They don't deserve me going there. It's very simple.
Yeah, but a team can't always win, Paul.
You told me there were specific
you
reasons
can't
for
give
why
up
they're
on
losing.
Them because they're good. Losing. You don't give up on
what
your
are you talking
team.
About? I'll be back next year.
Right. And if they're Perillo.
The Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl since 97, but they've gone to 8 of them and won 5. I mean, to me,
I'm
that's
not saying that you just stop rooting for the team. You guys have missed.
I'm missing
stop
the
going
I'm
to saying, games. If you're sitting there and you're acting like they're going to win every game, nothing's wrong. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to win. And you're 1-15. That's not doing any good.
But no, but in the Steelers fans, because I listen to them on Sirius Radio, and even during that winning streak, they get on and they bitch about what Cowher's doing. They bitch about, you know, what's going on with the team. But they always show up. They always show up. They don't stop calling. They don't stop listening. They don't stop watching. They don't stop going. They'll bitch, but they don't stop supporting
the
team.
Well, that's different than what you said.
No, that's
you said they were unrealistic. If they're bitching about their team and their problems, then that's not unrealistic.
But
that's smart.
Up to this, you know, for the last 23 years, up to this year, they'd always lose the big game. But every year they think they're going to win
Last I checked, they're 5-0 in the Super Bowl.
5-1.
I said,
I'm sorry, 5-1.
I said this is 23 years ago, okay?
That's a ridiculous statement.
You don't want to
listen
to that
part. It's an utterly ridiculous statement that you just made. Yep. They always lose the big one. They lost one.
This team.
They went to the Super Bowl once. They lost once.
Are there any of those players still on this team?
I don't care. You just said they always lost the big one. Who are you talking about then?
This current cast of players.
So this current cast of players is 1-1 in the championship game.
Oh, and you're going to tell me that if Cowher had lost, he wouldn't be one of those guys that can't win the big one?
Guys like you would say that. I count a lot of the games that he won as big ones.
Okay. What about Peyton Manning? What's the difference between him and Peyton Manning?
Who's been more supportive of Peyton Manning than me on this show?
Yeah, and you've finally given up on him.
I cut ties with him this year, no doubt about it. Because I thought for the first time this year, he had the better team and lost with it.
Okay, so one time and you've given up?
Well, I think that it was a colossal collapse by him. I think that's worth it, yes.
Okay. Well, see, he's tough.
Coming
he's
up tough. On the Kirsch-Perillo argument hour.
one year and he's given up on
it. But I haven't. But you notice I haven't changed my view. I haven't contradicted myself. It's all the same.
It's all wrong.
Not just like throwing stuff out there and hoping it sticks to the wall like Fred.
Phil from Stafford Spring, USC and Texas was a way better game than the Super Bowl.
Obviously, not even the same.
I don't think that's even a question. Did we question that?
I didn't even hear what he said.
He's still arguing in his head.
In his head.
This argument's still going.
USC Fresno State was a way better game than the Super Bowl.
Let's see. Dwayne says, my uncle got a chuckle out of what 4 months ago NFL channel ad. Oh, you know those ads?
Yeah. I love those things. What? Like they show like the beginning of the year where they say,
oh, Chad Johnson, never heard of
Bears are going to stink.
At the end of Seattle fan says, first thing I do, fire Mike Holmgren. Well, they might be saying that now, too, though. I wonder how many Seattle fans are thinking that still. Actually, they might, don't you think? I don't know.
Some might believe better coaching, you're in that game and could win very easily.
What positions do you guys think the Pats try to fill in free agency? I saw on the Best Damn Sports Show that Willie McGinnis was mentioned as a free agent.
Wrong.
So would linebacker be a spot, safety, wide receiver? I'm just wondering what positions will their biggest signs be in. I don't know.
Wide receiver.
I think
you have to sign wide receivers.
Right now, you have one right now.
All these other spots, there's bodies you could throw in there. Right now, you don't have wide receivers.
I would be surprised if they didn't sign some defensive backs, too.
Safety.
Right. Well, they're probably going to sign all those positions that he just
Let's see. Gabe in Trevos said, I heard that Montana was supposed to do the coin toss, being a three-time Super Bowl MVP. Because he wasn't there, and neither was Bradshaw, they asked Brady to do it at the last minute.
I don't know. We found out on Wednesday. So how's that?
Yeah, we knew ahead of time.
It was in the update on Wednesday.
And
they could have said no by then, you know. And then
it's not really last minute. I think they could have found Bart Starr's number by then.
I think Bart Starr was there.
There were other guys there.
He's a multiple MVP.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Not like it was before game time when they were looking around and said, "Oh, there's Tom. Let's ask him."
Right. That Brady guy, he might do it.
It's like a high school game when you need guys to hold
that's
the
chance. Scott in Washington, I didn't see Belichick in the pregame stuff. Can you elaborate about what he said about facing Thurman Thomas and Marshall Faulk? Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was okay.
Oh, come on. Tell the guy what he wants
about,
to know.
About Faulk, he said they tried to hit him every time he came out of the backfield with McGinnis to throw off his rhythm. Every time he lined up behind Kurt Warner, they played run. Every time he lined up not behind Kurt Warner, they played pass.
Right. Well, and when they were playing the pass, it allowed them to get in the receiver's face and just bang him, not let him get off the line.
When they played pass.
But I think the way he set it up was the most interesting.
Well, Tom Casale did it. The first person I thought of was Tom Casale when he goes, "When we played the Rams, I can sum up our defense in two words, Marshall Faulk." And I was like, that's Tom Casale right there.
But that's good stuff. It gets your attention, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's a little repetitive, though, because we always hear him say stuff like that.
The thing
I
said at the
sum
end.
Sum up the Raiders in two words.
Big and fast.
Sometimes
in most cases, both.
Like, he's fallen into that rut a little bit.
But when he said at the end that it was his most gratifying moment, that I thought was telling.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl win over the Rams I'm talking
He
about.
Was okay. I will say one thing from a visual perspective. I've never seen anyone that looks more uncomfortable in a shirt.
It's very
stiff. It tenses him up when he puts it on.
I wish you guys could see Andy on the air. That's exactly what he looks like.
Tenses.
Do that again.
We're still not on TV.
Though. I know, but do it for me.
I can't.
Do it for Tom. One time.
Put a dollar in his waistband.
That's exactly what he does, though.
Come on, for Tom. One time for old time's sake. Do it for Tom.
And the point earlier about the tie, Michael Irvin, we didn't really touch on
that. Tie,
I don't even know what it was.
Well,
I don't know how you make a tie look like that.
I swear every time he came on, that knot was bigger.
It might have been inflated.
That was not
as Fred says, that's where he hides his what?
Crack. Fact or fiction.
I just wanted him to say it on the air.
Fact or fiction.
Don't you!
Alleged crack.
Jerome Bettis is a Hall of Famer, fact or fiction?
Fact.
Not even close.
Michael Irvin is a Hall of Famer, fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact.
He'll get in someday.
So? Yeah,
he won't get in. It'll be like 10 years down the road, but he'll get in.
Don't you think the further away he gets, the less chance he has?
I'm on the fence on
No.
No?
He's definitely a fence guy, but I just think he was a dominant player at his position for a decade.
On a dominant team.
Okay.
Yeah, fact. Sold me.
All right, fact or fiction. If Corey Dillon has another 1,500 or 1,600-yard season,
fiction.
He could be considered as a Hall of
Famer.
It's
fiction because it will never happen. So next.
Because he's done.
If he were to have another 1,600-yard season, I would say fact.
1,600-yard Super Bowl season, he's in there.
Yep. I asked that last one because it seems that Bettis and Dillon aren't far off considering the extra years, yet I'm positive that Dillon won't be in the Hall of Fame and Bettis will because of his character in the cool nickname. You guys think this is fair, or do you think the off-field life is intruding too much on the choices for the Hall?
I think to make the assumption that Corey Dillon is going to be able to play as long as Bettis did is a big, big-time leap.
Yeah,
that's ability.
That's the thing.
That's part of ability. And I don't necessarily, based on what I saw last year, I'm not sure that I'm willing to say that Corey Dillon can put up.
No, durability in football is huge.
And my fiance asked why he was retiring when he announced it there, and I said, you could only imagine the pounding that this man has taken over the years. I mean, he's never ran around anybody. He's always through people.
That's the same way Dillon runs, but Bettis is even more so because he's so big.
Yeah, he's big.
You see the high school highlight of him?
Yeah.
And he got up and he kind of did the thing
that
everybody hates him for,
hated him for it because he did it after, like,
a three-yard game.
He had, literally, like, 8 carries for 9 yards against the Patriots in that 97 playoff game, and he ripped off, like, an 8-yarder and got up and did that.
And you were drunk.
Oh, no. Patriots game on?
Weren't you at it as a fan? Oh, that's right. Rule 172B, no drinking during Patriots games.
Got to focus.
Loser.
Dave from Winnipeg, I hope they get the collective bargaining agreement done soon. If so, I'd use some of the available money to sign Seymour and Givens, at least give it a try. Where can I find a copy of next year's schedule? I've heard bits and pieces, but have not been able to find a full schedule.
Because not out yet.
Not out yet. We know the opponents, but we don't know when and...
And the league keeps releasing these, like, occasional games here. The Saints game, the Atlanta and Saints, and the 24th.
How do I miss all of these things?
Yeah, the Cowboys are playing the Redskins on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, the Cowboys-Redskins Thanksgiving night on the network. So they have some...
You can kind of play detective and put it together.
Yeah, you can start piecing little stuff together.
Yeah.
It's just like when you root for college teams and you're trying to put your schedule together and you go to the other team's websites and you say, okay, well, we're playing URI on the 11th.
Phil says, in baseball during the playoffs, there are extra umpires added to the crew. I think that the NFL should do the same thing in the playoffs. One of the problems with the Champ Bailey fumble was that there wasn't an official within 20 yards of the play. In the playoffs, there should be at least one official at each end of the field in position to make calls in the event of long offensive plays or fumble interception returns.
Sure.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, I've heard that suggestion many times, and I have no problem.
But I don't think the guy could have made that call because it was all these planes intersecting in midair.
And the guy who made the pass interference call against Daryl Jackson was standing right there.
Yeah,
It's not going to fix everything.
Jay says again, about Roethlisberger losing control of the ball on the goal line, go back and look at the replay. His arm was hit, and the ball is jarred loose and back towards his midsection. He did not possess the ball after his arm was hit.
That's incorrect.
That's incorrect.
There's four people here who saw the game.
And also, it's a moot point because the official ruled that when he lunged forward, he put the ball past the plane of the goal line.
And
so
it doesn't what happened after
that. At that point, he could have snapped it back to the opposing goal line and it still would have been a touchdown.
Quick note on, somebody just brought up Jay, and it made me think of, did anybody notice that Jay Moore, who was on those bad Pepsi commercials?
Bad commercials.
Just got engaged to Nikki Cox.
I saw that.
Wow.
Guy falls in. He's not funny, and he's marrying this ridiculous.
She's like 40 years old now. Oh no! I'm thinking of Samantha.
Or 26. Seven.
Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox.
Did you just say touch me? Touch me? Is that who you're thinking?
Yes.
But he didn't say Fox.
I said Cox.
You like Cox?
Samantha Fox, by the way, is still hot.
I'm sure she is.
Brendan,
did she have a 1-900 line?
No, she used to be a porn star. I got a couple.
Yeah, I think she had a 1-900 line too. 1-900.
She was a porn star.
Hot Fox.
I didn't know that. You have that?
Back in the day. Yeah, I got them somewhere. I have like a couple of them.
You're going to have to come up with that. I'm dead serious here.
We'll have Bob convert it to DVD.
Next hour.
Brendan in Cambridge. Paul, I can't believe my ears. For the last time, unless you're a Raiders fan, please refer to the Snow Bowl as the missed roughing call game, not the tuck game. The fumble was caused by Woodson's treating Tom's head like Joe Frazier treats a pinata. Should have been 15 yards and a first down. Instead, it was conclusively overturned.
That's my other favorite Patriots.
Progress.
I never heard that one.
That's my other favorite Patriots rant. Not only the tuck rule wasn't a break, but it should have been a 15-yard penalty. So not only you got a break that gave you a Super Bowl title, you're looking for an extra 15 yards tacked on.
And nothing to do with tucking. The word wasn't even mentioned in the rule. The Raiders lost.
Mike Vrabel in the Super Bowl.
It's all conjecture. It depends how you look at the map.
The Raiders lost because they sat on a 10-point lead, and the Pats played brilliantly in the fourth quarter and overtime.
But watch Woody McGinnis use Byron Leftwich's head as a pinata in that playoff game that he had 4.5 sacks. That's a record!
All time and one of the best touchdown drives in playoff history. I'm fed up with so-called objective football people who talk about the game like Raiders fans. There you go.
I hate the Raiders. They'll never accuse me of that.
He's fed up with guys who don't look at the game through rose-colored glasses, Paul. So.
Plus, all I had to do on the whole tuck rule thing was I went to the source. I asked an official in 2002. Listen, he told me all I needed to hear about that.
Right,
play.
And listen, it's like,
it was a fumble.
It's like I said to Paul, you know, I know some Cowboy fans. Now, when their runs to the Super Bowl, they got a lot of calls their way. And at least they say it. They say, you know what, man, we got some calls, but we'll take it. Sometimes you just got to sit back and say, hey, we caught a break. You know, so what? That's just life. Don't try to make out something it isn't.
And that's why I'm trying to say, I don't think that, I think we're overreacting with this whole, the NFL is in danger of losing its credibility. I think these things have been a problem. I can go back and I can be as bitter as anybody about 1976. I can still look at that as a robbery. I think they completely stole the game from the
bad
Patriots.
Bad calls have been part
with
of sports.
A bad call,
and sports.
And
plus,
it will
NFL
never stop.
Films, I mean, you see these all the time in every game you watch.
It will never stop.
Controversial.
How about the one we were watching a couple of weeks ago? We just happened to be watching a classic thing, and Tom, you know, it was San Francisco against Washington in the 82 or 83 NFC Championship game, a game that Andy and I had no knowledge of whatsoever. And Tom was like, oh, this is that phantom pass interference game. And it was a blatantly horrible call against, was it Ronnie Lott?
Yeah, that gave us the
that gave the Redskins gave them a win in the NFC Championship game.
It was crap.
It was horrible. These calls have been happening forever. They'll never stop.
The Steelers might not have a dynasty if they call that receiver for the Oilers' feet inbounds, which they were.
Mike Renfro, yeah. Clearly inbounds.
So you can. There's a ton of them.
And you know what the worst part? You know what I talk about? You know, like the delayed call and the Roethlisberger touchdown. If you remember that, they got together on that play. They never made a call on the field, and it was literally 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, the referee emerged from this circle of the officials and waved his arms back and forth, incomplete pass.
It happens all the time.
Literally 5 minutes. Bum Phillips was going to have a seizure on the side.
How often do they do it with fumbles when they're looking in the pile and the guy with the ball ran off and he's 15 yards downfield ball?
Did you hear the story? They had another one of those things on Classic where they had 40 moments of Super Bowls that you never heard. You know, and some of them were just like small little things that you maybe have gone unnoticed. Well, they had said that in the, I think it was Super Bowl V, Dallas and the Colts, there was a fumble caused the Cowboy guy fumbled the ball on the goal line, and at the bottom of the pile, the Cowboy center had the ball, and a Colts guy yelled, "Colts ball!" They gave the ball to the Colts. They gave the ball to the Colts, and that took a touchdown away from Dallas. They were on the inside the one.
It'll always happen. Until the day they go to, like, lasers and computer eyes and stuff.
And even then, the calibrations will be off.
And even then, they'll be cheating and people will be hacking in.
Something will happen, you know.
Phil from Austin, as a follow-up to someone else's email, I was watching the Best Damn Sports Show on Monday and heard Willie himself say he was a free agent. Talked about it for a minute or
He's essentially a free agent because he has a huge cap number that has to be reworked or he would be cut. That's
right.
The thing. He's
technically
not an officially...
He's not officially a free agent, but he's...
But he is.
I mean, he's a free agent like Ty Law is a free agent.
Right.
Ty Law is still not technically a free agent.
Right.
Dana writes in, after watching the most boring Super Bowl ever, it made me realize what a bad NFL season this has been. Officiating in throughout the season was terrible, and I'm not taking anything away from the Steelers, but I kind of feel they might have won the Super Bowl unfairly. I wonder what would have happened if Palmer stayed healthy.
Not taking anything, though.
I wonder what would have happened if Palmer stayed healthy or Darryl Jackson's TD in the Super Bowl stood. Would the Steelers still have been Super Bowl champions? I hope next year the Pats get their defense ready at the beginning of the season and not have too many injuries. I also saw that Don Davis signed a contract extension, and Tom Brady's injury will take 6 to 8 weeks to recover from. Can you comment on this?
Don Davis signed a one-year contract, and Tom Brady's expected recovery time will be 6 to 8 weeks.
But some guy emailed AskPFW and said it'll be much quicker than that. Did you see that email?
True or false, Patriots will have 6 or more new starters next season.
False.
False.
False? Okay.
What's a new starter?
Starter that wasn't a starter this year.
Oh, yeah. 40 starters.
Yeah, that's why
I
said false.
Because, I mean, do I consider...
I think you probably have a different starter.
Just say
starter,
or Dan Copen a starter.
I'm going to say they're going to have a different starter at right tackle, and they'll have a different starter at receiver, the number two receiver.
So different than Tom Ashworth, who started the year, or different than Brandon Gorn, who finished the year?
Well, I think both.
Both?
I think Nick Casual will probably be the starting right tackle.
Okay. And
but I would count that Tom Ashworth
receiver.
In my opinion,
okay, I'll give
I think
you receiver.
Givens
it's
won't
one
be
of those quick games, Andy.
That's two.
We're losing the technicalities.
No. You might have a new starting running back.
New starting safety.
No chance.
New starting safety.
You might have a new starting safety. Rodney won't be ready.
No, Fred, you're kind of right. You'll have a new starting running back by week three.
Okay. And it's according to Patriots.com, Lawrence Maroney.
I just don't see it. Because I think it costs them too much money.
No, I'm not saying they're going to get rid of him. I'm saying he stinks. And
right, you draft a young guy who doesn't cost you a ton of money because you're drafting him for the future. So you want him either way. And then you just say, Corey, stay on the sideline.
I just don't
Okay, another true or false.
I'm hoping you guys are right.
Another true or false. Two or more Patriots players will retire in the offseason.
Two or more?
False.
False.
Okay. Patriots will be Super Bowl contenders next year.
True.
True.
Jurevicius will be a Patriot and David Givens will not.
Fiction. False.
True.
You think so? You think it will? Okay.
I don't think Givens will be a Patriot, but Jurevicius will be a Seahawk.
Okay, they'll keep him?
That's the word.
All right. One, Gabe
doesn't
writes
mean
in,
it's the right word, but that's the word.
I just figured there was two things in there, so the odds are with me if I say false that both of them won't happen. I was just playing the numbers.
Gabe has sent us a picture of his new baby. That's very nice.
Congratulations,
boy or girl?
Ian Gabriel Fonseca.
Don't get. You say that the wrong way. He gets mad. He gets mad at me.
He was born on January 16th. 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
That's a good sized little boy.
Yeah.
Ian, is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got his little Patriots nightie on.
Good luck with that. I can't.
I don't think it's
a
called
dog.
A nightie with a boy.
No, a little baby night,
onesie?
Night thing. Onesie. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. He has a big long email though. I don't want to read it. So.
You can't scan and just find a couple keywords
we
and we'll
talked
talk about
his
the topic.
Baby. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's good.
That's. Let's see, Scott. Regarding officials, what about Rodney Harrison? He was practicing as a ref in the NFL Europe training camp last year. Is he serious about trying to become a ref? And if so, what are the chances?
He says he's serious, and I would think if he wants to do it and he's good at it, the chances are good. If he's not good at it and he freaks out every time there's something happens, then they're not
so good.
You think
that he would have a change of heart once he started actually doing it in a real game? And would he have a little, you think?
If he did, he wouldn't last long.
Right. I mean,
Right now he has a certain opinion of referees and what they should call and what they shouldn't. Do you think that would change once he starts actually doing
it? The perspective would change how he sees things. Maybe not all of it 100% or whatever, but I think, yes, he would become an official. I don't think you just all of a sudden you're out there and you still think the same way. After all the classes and film study and league guidelines and all that, I would think his view would change somewhat.
Okay. So you don't think he's going into being a referee to change things, to do it the right way.
No, I think Rodney Harrison.
Nobody believed I could be a referee. No one believed in me.
You know, the Rodney Harrison kind of calls, I think, might be the toughest ones for those. When you have, like, that defensive back that's flying up and burying a receiver, whether or not it's the helmet to helmet or whatever, that's got to be
the
hardest
that in the
one.
Super Bowl and then picked it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't even close.
That was a bad. That was another bad call.
It, like. That's the other one I just don't get. Did you see it or did you not see it?
Well, some guy thought he saw something, and the other guy came over and said, no, he didn't hit him with the helmet.
Well, why didn't they do that on the pass interference?
I think there's more of an argument to be made.
It was enough that the ref had to call
I think that you are so...
Right in front of him.
You are so contradictory at thinking that was offensive pass interference and Asante Samuels wasn't.
You saw the arm go out. Now,
I saw Asante Samuels go like that.
Please!
I got the game on tape. I'll watch it.
They were terrible. Both calls were equally terrible. I agree with these guys.
So misguided in your beliefs.
I agree with Andy and
Tom. You're so anti-patriot.
No, I'm not.
I couldn't be more pro-patriot in that call than
Andy doesn't like the Patriots.
I was going to say, right now I'm arguing that neither of them were pass interference. Therefore, I'm arguing for the Patriot side.
Hey, Tom. The Andy Hart, Fred Kirsch argument.
All right.
But that's what he does to you. That's what he does to you. You think the Asante Samuel call was ridiculously bad, and he's saying that you're anti-patriot.
And then he just goes, nuh-uh,
changes
nuh-uh,
the argument
nuh-uh.
On you.
Well, that's going to do it, PFA in progress. See you next week.
What he's saying is, if you think that was a bad call, then you have to think that this other one was a bad call.
And
no,
you do.
That's not.
They're very similar
completely
calls.
Different. Oh, my
one
God.
One was a patriot, very one similar. Wasn't. I agree.
Really
that's how you see him
one
different.
Is two guys running side by side down the field, and the ball overthrown by 10 yards, and the other is a guy sticking his arm out and catching a touchdown.
That's the only difference is one ball was caught
with
Darryl
Jackson. Did you even watch the play at all?
I'd
say if that happened to the Patriots, him and the rest of Patriots Nation would be flooding us with emails.
Right. Of course they would, but they'd be wrong.
They're still looking
they would
for a roughing the passer call on the Tuck Rule fumble.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition. We'll see you next Wednesday.